Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets have won back-to-back games for the first time in almost a month. They beat the New York Islanders last night 4-2. Kirill Marchenko scores 2, including the game winner late. The Jackets back at it tonight in Ottawa, taking on the Senators at 7. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan gets underway at 6:30. Joe Burrow throws for 305 yards and 2 touchdowns, both of those to Ja'Marr Chase. Chase Brown chips in 2 more scores rushing. The Cincinnati Bengals hammer the Arizona Cardinals 37-14 yesterday. The Cleveland Browns defense was great yesterday. Even though Miles doesn't get a sack and tie the record, they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 13-6. The Ohio State women's basketball team falls to number 4 UCLA 82-75. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI at bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Buckeye Bowl Week Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3. Bake is here. Rhyme Time is here. Is it a Buckeye Bowl week or is it a national quarterfinal week? It kind of depends on the perspective. Obviously, it's both, or certainly the Cotton Bowl is trying to make you feel like it's both. You got to remember how bowl games all got started. The first one, to the surprise of probably nobody out there listening, was the 1902 Rose Bowl. That's how it got started. It was actually viewed as kind of an add-on to the Tournament of Roses parade. The parade was such a big deal that they said, boy, it'd be nice if we could extend this. So, hey, let's play a football game. And the first ever Rose Bowl game was played in 1902. It was an East versus West football game. The Eastern representative, you guessed it, was Michigan. The Western representative was Stanford. Michigan won the game 49-0. And they said, you know what? This thing kind of sucks. Maybe we can come up with something else. So for 14 years, they did not play the game because the result was so lopsided. I hate to give Michigan too many flowers, but apparently they were so dominant that they said, you know what? We'll see this thing in 1916. So 1916 comes along and the annual tradition began. It was actually Washington State versus Brown. But these games, and this is the point of all of this, these games were played as an exhibition. It was meant in 02 as an exhibition. It was meant in 1916 as an exhibition. Then other cities around the country, especially in warm climates, got their heads together and they said, hey, you know what? We have warm climates. People like to travel after the holidays. Maybe we should do something like this. And sure enough, they did. And the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and countless others began to follow. And we got a bowl system that for the majority of the time that we've played college football was seen as a reward for the teams who had played a long season and for the fans who maybe wanted a vacation out of northern climates into warmer climates and to play an exhibition football game. Heck, for the longest time in this sport, and my hunch is I realize it's damn near the year 2026, but it's the year 2025 right now. For the longest time, you could award a national champion before the bowl was played. You got to remember that. This thing was built. This was built as around a collegiate model. A school model. Remember, the final games of the college football season originally took place before Thanksgiving. Why was that? So the kids could go home for Thanksgiving. You were going to keep kids for Thanksgiving? That was break. And then you come back and you do finals, and then we'll see you again in January. That's the way that it was set up. It was set up as an exhibition. So what they've done is they've shoehorned this all into it. The sport's grown exponentially, as we all know, over the last 50 years. And now we have a quarterfinal game that is being played at a Cotton Bowl site. Now, I've covered countless of these. Well, I mean, not countless. I can't count them. But one of the things that is pretty undefeated is when you cover one of these and you get to the venue, you feel like what you're doing is the most important sporting event on the history of the planet. You really do. That's how much those bowl committees and those the PR people for the bowls, that's how well-oiled of a machine it is. And I don't care. Yeah, some's better than the other. The Rose Bowl is unbelievable. Although the old BCS ones, Rose, Fiesta, Sugar, Orange, they're all really, really great. The Orange has its own aura to it. Honestly, the one historically that's treated everybody the best has been the one in Arizona. Of course, the Fiesta Bowl was the one that treated everybody best. You felt like you were covering the Super Bowl every time you went to that thing. And they're still trying to do a lot of those things. For example, there's a media day today at 10:15, and we're going to dip in on it because it's Uncle Dom and little Adam, they're down there and they're going to be doing some live stuff. And so we're going to dip in on some of this, and they're going to treat it like a Super Bowl media day. They are. But the reality is that Ryan Day and Ohio State are going to play Miami on Wednesday night. They're going to play a game. And at the end of it, someone's going to try hand them a Cotton Bowl trophy or something like that. But as you win that game, you're on to the next. The next opponent will very likely be Georgia. And if you're fortunate enough to win that one, you're on to the next. So we are, as this sport is being fought for what the future of it looks like, and it's been very noisy on that over the last couple of weeks with the free transfer and the NIL and all of it, there's also just the complete lack of common sense of what's being asked of these teams this time of year. This is the Cotton Bowl that Ohio State's playing in on Wednesday. It by no means should in any way feel like a Cotton Bowl. It's the first round playoff game for Ohio State. It's the quarterfinal for the college football playoff. That's what it is. And that fight in terms of the ideals of what bowls were and the reality of what it is now, we're going to get a firsthand look at this week, fellas.
And we've talked about this a little bit, and I know you talked about it last year, like how weird it was
so weird.
For Ryan Day to be up there hoisting this trophy. Because they won the Rose Bowl, but yeah, mm-hmm. You still got two games to play. And this kind of goes back to our thing. Let's keep this feeling like college until the semifinals, right? Let's have home sites in these things until we get to those semifinals. And then, you know, maybe you can get a trophy for being one of the teams going to the final game. But the only thing that this Cotton Bowl trophy means is Ohio State's one step closer. That's to be in back-to-back national championships. That's it. That's the only reason Ohio State wants to get a Cotton Bowl trophy. I wonder if it's ever going to become like the NHL, where we don't want to touch the Eastern or Western Conference Finals trophy.
It's a great question.
Because that's jinxing. What we want to touch is the Stanley Cup trophy, the national championship trophy at the end. I wonder if there's ever going to be a time where we're like, nah. We don't want to touch that. That's not what we want here. It's all nice because we can play for what we want, but we don't need
that.
I
think you might be onto something. It's kind of got a... I do think it evolves to kind of like in the NCAA tournament with hoops, how when you win a region, you cut down the nets. I do think the Final Four could get to that point, that when you get to the Final Four, or maybe it's after you get through the semifinal onto the championship, that there can be kind of a second to take a beat and go, wow, look what we accomplished. We got to this point. That too should be celebrated, because it's awkward. It's just awkward that this is that we are stuck one foot in the history of the sport, trying to pay homage to it and try to hold on to it like grim death. And at the other foot, we're like, okay, this is the first of three games that Ohio State's going to have to play to try to win a national title. It's the second of four if Miami's going to do it.
You mentioned earlier this being like a Super Bowl media day today, and it's going to be entertaining as hell. Mm-hmm. I'm sure when we dip in on Dom and Adam, you've done this with Dom before. You've been walking around these places off the cuff, and you're just like, hey, here's Caleb Downs. Caleb, what's going on? Yada, yada. And it's going to be entertaining, but we're going to get nothing out of it. No. We're not going to get any secrets. We're not going to get anything good from this.
No, you're not going to get
tomfoolery. Let's play it up like this is major.
You think they probably talked to Jeremiah after the comments he made last week at the media availability for him? That they're not going to give any more bulletin board material?
I don't think you say a damn thing to him.
Yeah.
I think you say, go play, kid.
Exactly.
Get out there and live. Get out there and live. So Dom will never give me credit for this, but the first one we were at... trying to think. The first one I was at with him would have been the national championship LSU. The first time I got him. So he was always one where he wants to be on the mic. And I'm like, dude, just get, and I'm pretty sure it was Tyvus. I told him, just give the mic to Tyvus and have the cameraman follow him. It'll be better than anything that we're going to do. And so I convinced him of that. And it was Tyvus. And it was at, ironically enough, it was at the Sugar Bowl in 14 when we played Bama. We gave Tyvus the mic and said, go have fun. And now look at the kid.
Oh, I can imagine that.
That was it. Yeah.
We have footage of that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we need to bring that back.
For sure in the archive. Yes, 100%. Just have, I'm trying to think who would know. Wes would know where it is.
Talk to Wes.
Yeah, but there's no question that, yeah, we mic'd him up and we just gave him the mic, the stick mic, and he ran around the bowl game, the media day.
That's gold.
Yeah, it is. And that's what this is. But that goes back to that one foot in one side of it, where there's this one side of it that we want to hold on to these traditions because it's part of what made it great. And yet the other side of it is we are on a freight train towards already a 12-team playoff that feels like it's going to be 16, that with any sort of common sense is all going to be moved back. And these first two games are going to be at home sites. They just are. This just doesn't make any damn sense. And despite what everyone has been telling you over the last 10 days, I don't know if you guys caught wind of this, but certainly in the last week, everybody on the national side of things is telling you how great the Bulls still are. I don't know whose payroll they're on, but we'll get to some of that coming up next in What's Up. Austin Ward coming up at 9:30 from down in Dallas. We're off and running. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Men, the new...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Hello, it's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Slight chance of snow showers today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy. Gusty, strong winds and highs near 30 means our feels like we'll be in the teens and 20s. For tonight, a slight chance of snow, otherwise mostly cloudy again with overnight lows in the 20s. The breezy winds still continue tonight and into your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies on Tuesday and highs in the upper 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's Reaction Monday
where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction. The Fan. What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. Cotton Bowl set for Wednesday down in Dallas. It is the Buckeyes ranked second in the country versus 10th ranked Miami. It will kick off the college football playoff quarterfinals. You're going to get three of them over the course of Thursday. And, of course, the game on Wednesday night between the Buckeyes and the Canes. One of the things that seems to have been organized over the last 7 days or so has been everybody who covers college football telling you how great bowls still are because an interim coach at Penn State got emotional coaching kids. Did you watch the actual game? I've got one for you. Who's going to play running back for Texas when they play Michigan? You see what's going on there? Their entire running back room's in the portal. Who's playing?
All of them.
Four of them. The four running backs. Arch is going to play out of five wide for a game? Who's playing at Michigan? Biff Poggi saying we could be without 25 guys. And yet you got the media. And see, we're part of the problem. They're part of the problem. They're carrying the water for these things. You know why? Because the Bulls treat us really good. They treat us really good. They treat athletic directors really good. They treat university presidents really good. In the old days, when you would go to the Fiesta Bowl as a member of the media, do you know where you stayed? Do you know what the media hotel was for the Fiesta Bowl? It may still be. It's the JW Marriott. Camelback.
Good digs if you can find them.
Camelback. Every room is an Adobe. They're not even connected. It's a resort, for God's sakes. That's how they treat the media. How the heck do you think they used to treat Gene Smith when he rolled in there? When they put him up at the Scottsdale Princess, the Fairmont Princess, in the suite. How do you think that was? So we're all in this together, right? But don't tell me these games are great. They're not. They're not great at all. And one of the things that I think we're seeing this year in the college football playoff is you're starting to see where fans of certain teams understand how the game is played. And the one way you can always look to for proof of that is just how cheap you can get into the venue. That's the barrier. So right now, if you go on ESPN.com and you can, of course, they have the ticket links in there. You can get Fish telling me it's still the JW Marriott Camelback for media. Well, it's a vacation then, Fish. I'll tell you that. By the way, as a quick aside, they build it for print. The media days are built for print. Everything is done in the morning. So like Dom and Adam and those guys that are down in Dallas right now, and we'll dip in on that in an hour. They have availability now, like they're getting ready for availability, but Dom's still on the air at 11 o'clock at night. Like that part doesn't change. He's still got to do the 11 o'clock news. Everything's done by the afternoon. It's all built around print is the way that it's always done. So they had plenty of time to get their deadlines written, even though print is long since gone in the traditional sense. Back to the get in barrier price of this stuff. You can walk in to Ohio State, Miami right now at Jerry World for $50. You can walk in to Oregon, Texas Tech in Miami for $52. Now, you want to go to the Rose Bowl, and it's Indiana playing in the Rose Bowl for the first time since God knows when. That one's still $178. Ole Miss, Georgia is $219. Now, I'd argue that even those last two ticket prices would probably be bigger if those venues were played on campus. If Alabama was coming to Bloomington, my hunch is it would be more than 178. Ole Miss at Georgia, that might be less than 219. I mean, that's the Sugar Bowl for people down south is like an unofficial party capital in New Orleans. So that's, you know, that's New Year's Eve in New Orleans and all the stuff that comes with that. So that one's a little bit different and it's drivable. You can drive there for Mississippi and Georgia. Everything else is a flight and it's ultra expensive. But I think that those tickets tell you about all you need to know about how this is in such an odd spot right now. And anybody telling you that the Bulls have been great is out of their mind. I mean, they're not. they may have some emotional appeal for the interim coach at Penn State because it was his dream to always coach there. And the kids played hard and they won, what, the Pinstripes Bowl against Clemson, which is maybe the most disappointing Dabo team of the last decade. And that's saying something. But the game wasn't great. Far from it.
Who would have thought that that game, Penn State, Clemson, would be played in Yankee Stadium in the Pinstripes Bowl at the beginning of the year when those teams were ranked number 2 and number 4? Like, you definitely thought if those two were playing after the regular season that that was going to be a college football playoff. Bo, you even mentioned, you talk about these games that are in the college football playoff. How about Michigan, Texas in the Camping World Citrus Bowl at Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
Okay.
$39. Arizona State and Duke in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, $25.
Jeez.
Coastal Carolina, Louisiana Tech in the Independence Bowl, $24.
Yeah.
If Notre Dame didn't back out, we would have gotten Notre Dame BYU in the Pop-Tart, right?
How did that one? How did that become like the one that got the most attention? Just because they port the Pop-Tart guys?
Yeah. Because it's dancing Pop-Tarts and they eat Pop-Tarts. Did it. I saw Timmy Hall say that should be the national championship game.
Should be that?
Yes. He said the Pop-Tarts Bowl should be that. What are we doing?
I don't know. I always felt like if you're going to give me a breakfast pastry out of a box, the toaster strudel is significantly superior to the Pop-Tart.
Gosh, that's a really good one. I did have Pop-Tarts this morning just because of it.
That impacted you?
Well, I mean, I already had them, but I guess I was just doing
you
it.
You stocked them, Ryan?
I've now gotten onto a kick of them for some reason. I don't normally.
Get off of the kick.
I was just happy to see that if we're having the Pop-Tart poll, Cookies and Cream got some love this year, because I think that's a great Pop-Tart. But
You're eating Pop-Tarts on the reg too, babe?
No, I haven't had a Pop-Tart probably in like 4 or 5 years.
It's been the first time in a while, too, for me. I just now recently got on it.
How did we I don't need litigation here, but how did anybody decide that that would be like a good way to start your day? A bunch of sugar.
Let's go. Jeez.
I just pop it in the toaster. It's real quick.
I know how it works. Thank you. Thanks, Ron. Thank God I have you to clear it up for me how to make a Pop-Tart.
I mean, you want to make it quicker? You don't even have to put it in the toaster.
It's literally in the name. I just pop it in the toaster. Yeah, it's in the name. It says it right on there. That's what it's for.
In case there was any confusion, Bo.
Oh, man. Here's the thing about this. This is the one thing about the college football playoff that's going to be different. By the time we get to Wednesday, and we'll do the build-up and the matchups here over the next couple of days, it's put into a microwave, right? We're going to get to this thing pretty quickly. You had Christmas holiday last week. You've got this week, you've got New Year's Eve and so forth and so on. And you're going to get there and you're going to put this thing on Wednesday night and it's all the feels are going to come back.
You said put it in a microwave. I thought we were talking about Pop-Tarts still. Like, what's going on? Hold on a second.
My analogies are all over the place. No, but you're going to get to Wednesday night, and you're going to have the juice for it, and a great many of you are going to consume it. It does get lost. I remember talking about this with Feinbaum last year when he was talking about his ESPN stuff, about how amidst all of this NFL stuff, it does get swallowed up a little bit, the college football playoff. And I do think that's a part of it. In a place like this, it's not going to be a problem. The whole city's going to be tuned in on Wednesday night, and everyone's going to be reacting to it on Thursday. By the way, we're going to be here Wednesday and Thursday doing these shows, getting you set for it and then preparing you for it, and then reacting to it again on Thursday. And so you're going to have all the feels of it. It's just, we're to the point, I think, where once somebody has the stones to actually start to fix the real problems of the sport, this is the other part of it, that this thing that's still hanging out there. And I understand you're making television shows, and that's the biggest, most important thing that you can possibly do. But if you go back to how we started the show today, think about what these were meant to be. These were meant to be exhibitions as rewards for college football players and their fans and families to go to warm weather climate. And the idea that you're still, and you're seeing it this year with the Buckeyes. I mean, in my time covering Ohio State football, I've never seen a $50 ticket on a bowl game. I don't even think the Gator Bowl was $50. I've covered a Gator Bowl. I don't even think that was $50 to get it. I'd be shocked if it was.
I understand that, like, it's the playoff and you lose and you're done. But, like, why don't, like, we just make the first two rounds already home games? And, like, if you lose in your rounds, then the losers are assigned a bowl game. And it's just the final four is a New Year's Six place.
Young Jedi, because that would make sense. I mean, I that's one of the things I pitched. If you move this whole thing back and you play the first two weekends the way that it should be, you did the quarterfinals on, like, December 10th or whatever, then for sure those teams could still be eligible to play in bowl games. The losers could if they wanted to, but you're not going to ever get, and I think Texas Michigan is the best proof of that, you're never going to get teams, their full teams, playing in these games in an era with NIL and free transfer. Until they get that window sorted out, that's not going to happen.
Yep, exactly.
And this isn't necessarily a new problem. I remember Bradley Roby in 2013 missing the Orange Bowl. Business decision. I got good tape.
And at the time, the Orange Bowl was still a very big bowl. It was something that mattered.
That was a great game, too, against Clemson.
That was a BCS bowl, and that was before the four-team playoffs. So there was only one championship game, and all the other BCS games had a lot of juice. And that still happened. We'll go boots on the ground coming up next. Austin going to join us from Big D in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends are here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery, your destination for handcrafted cocktails, locally inspired dishes, and award-winning whiskey war. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Hi, buddy. I want to talk about the matchup, the game, and all the things you're hearing, but with boots on the ground in Big D, what I'm most curious about is, does it feel like a bowl game?
It feels cold, Bo. I don't know what's going on.
Same.
I drove up. I was down with the folks over the weekend in the Texas Hill Country. Mm-hmm. I left to drive north to Dallas. It was 80 degrees when I left Green, Texas, and it was 40, and there was trash flying all over the highway with this weird wind and bomb cyclone or whatever. So that part felt pretty weird. And then when we went to the Hilton Anatole last night for the team arrival, and so last year when they got same hotel, same scenario, late arrival after a practice, there were a ton of friends, family, fans in the lobby waiting for them. And last night it was probably 10 people greeting the Buckeyes, and they turned on the fight song and cranked it up. But it was like there was nobody there to really celebrate. So far, I would have to say no, it hasn't felt like that. I just got to AT&T Stadium for media day, which will start for the Buckeyes here shortly, and maybe that will kick it up a little bit. But so far, it hasn't felt like really any of the games that Ohio State played in the playoff last year. And I don't really know why. I mean, maybe it's the drop off from Texas A&M to Miami with some of the juice. I don't know. But maybe by the time we get closer to Wednesday night, it'll feel that way.
That certainly contributes, I think. I think you and I both would agree that obviously Miami does not have the throng of supporters that Texas A&M would have had. And obviously it would have been in Texas A&M's backyard. But the other part of it is just, the sport has one foot in the past and one foot in the future. And like, you can get into this thing for $50. And I think it's just Buckeye fans saying, look, we saw it. Now we get it. It's a three game march. It's three road trips. It's three flights. It's three hotels. And they're kind of picking and choosing which one they want to go to. And they're lucky that they have this massive alumni that they'll still be really well represented on Wednesday night. But the reality is that they're still trying to shoehorn a bowl experience into what is essentially a college football quarterfinal.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, it may sound, you know, out there to people listening to Bishop and Friends, like you and I are complaining about this, or that it should feel more important, which it should feel more important, or that it has to be, the atmosphere has to be a certain way. But I think if we zoom out and you and I have a lot of these conversations about the future of college football and where it's going, or athletic directors or presidents worrying about the attendance problem, or, you know, how to actually give the fans a product that they want to engage with. I think these minor details that you and I are talking about, I think are emblematic of a larger problem that's going on. I think we can all just say that the schedule doesn't make sense. But when you have some of the juice, you know, Miami is still going to be a week and a half, 2 weeks away. I don't think that their fans are turning around to take a second trip to Texas after just coming out to Kyle Field. And Ohio State fans are anticipating that there's going to be two more games beyond this. Yep. And they haven't played in 25 days. So that's not the way. I know that people say that college football and the tradition and pageantry needs to be different than the NFL. And I would agree with that. It is a separate product and we all enjoy it in a different way, but you carry over the energy and momentum and the competitiveness of the season into the postseason in every other sport. And I think, you know, that's the most interesting part, both on the field and off the field for Ohio State on Wednesday night, is how does that carry over when you have this lengthy layoff? So, you know, 25 days between competition when you're trying to go win a national championship, just, it's never felt right. But they didn't even really fix that from the old system that we had, thinking about, you know, 2006 or anything like that.
No, they didn't. And by the way, the folks listening to you and I right now, they're in the same boat as what we're talking about, because they're going to watch it on television. And they're going to be thrilled.
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve. It's perfect, right? Go right into Kisses at midnight. Everybody wins. You mentioned that layoff. I've had a lot of people, I'm sure you get this all the time, a lot of people come up to you think the Buckeyes are good against Miami. So I do. I mean, I think they're the better team for sure. But at the same time, they haven't played in 25 days. And I'm very curious what this whole thing looks like. And the last time we saw them on the lines of scrimmage, they were bullied. So what happened in 25 days to fix that?
Yeah, well, I think that there is benefit to that layoff, and, you know, we'll second guess, and we'll Thursday morning quarterback, if they structure the practices the right way to stay sharp, to rebuild, to reload. But I do think that this team, from playing and, you know, winning the way they did in the Big House, then turning around to play an undefeated number one versus number two matchup, I think they were beat down. That's not just Jeremiah and Carnell working back from injuries. That's also the offensive line. It could be specific to Tegra Shibola, but he's not alone. I think, you know, playing that position as long as they did in Ohio State was, you know, knock on wood here, reasonably healthy throughout the year up front. Did not have to do a ton of scrambling around. But I know that Philip Daniels missed a game in November where I talked to him about, you know, needing some time to get right and get some his legs under him. You know, Austin Saravelle, this was his first year as a full-time starter at left tackle. And I think some of that caught up to Ohio State at the end of the year. That is not it sounds like excuse making, and maybe it is. I think it's an explanation for what happened in that game, along with a poor game plan and along with, you know, suspect personnel packages around the offensive line. I think all of that is fair to look at a big picture, but, you know, this is going to be an opportunity. You know, Tegra Shibola, we don't expect him to play. He's officially designated as doubtful for Wednesday night. But I think Gabe Van Sickle, you know, he's had an opportunity to get a lot of these reps throughout the month of December. Josh Padilla is back to full strength. This is a similar situation to what Ohio State faced up front a year ago in the college football playoff. And Justin Fry did a phenomenal job adjusting, adapting, and working with Chip Kelly and Ryan Day to put together a game plan that suited the personnel. This is really the first time, Bo, where we're seeing this for Tyler Bowen. And, like, I thought he did certainly a very good job throughout the regular season. It wasn't the way we even thought that this offensive line was going to be configured. When they bring in Ethan Onyanwa, or we think Philip Daniels might play guard or whatever, like thinking back to August. But now this is, you have a change in personnel, a change in scheme that you might need to execute against a really good Miami front. I find Tyler Bowen to be one of the most fascinating people on the Ohio State or in the Ohio State program right now, and I'm actually going to be trying to seek him out for the notebook here when Berman and I get rolling for media day. Nice. Because I think there's a lot on the plate for him.
There is. And this defensive front for Miami is a real one. We certainly know that. Top 10 pick in Reuben Bain in the middle of it. I guess what I'm curious about is it's going to be fast tracks from here on out. And yep. I look at a Heisman finalist quarterback. I look at the best receivers in the country. And the idea that they're healthy and unleashed, that to me is I don't see a scenario where Miami can cover that. And having watched Miami against Texas A&M, I'm not sure what the point number is that would make me feel satisfied, but it might be 21 might do it, buddy. It just feels to me like can Carson Beck score three touchdowns against this Buckeye defense? And I keep coming back to the answer being no on that. Do you think offensively that Ryan will unleash this passing game in the climate control that he's going to be able to take advantage of on Wednesday?
I do think so, Bo, and I think there's two reasons for that. Partially, it goes back to what we're talking about. If Ohio State has found what it can and really can't do well, maybe against aggressive fronts and stunts and shifts and all the things that Indiana found success with 3 or 4 weeks ago, that doesn't mean you just throw your hands up and give up. Well, what can you do to protect your offensive line from that situation? What do you need to do that Austin Sarabelle or Philip Daniels don't have to be one-on-one against Reuben Bain or Akeem Mesidor for the entire game? Do the same thing that literally every opponent that plays Ohio State does. Get the football out of the quarterback's hands, whether that's using some RPO game, whether that's just hitting some of the quick routes, whatever. You know, I'm not the X's and O's guy. I'm not the coordinator for this team. Ryan knows that. Tremendous yeah. amount of football, as we all know. He will find solutions for that. And when you're starting from a place where you have a head start because your offensive skill talent is so good, you know, you will lean into that. And we saw that. I think the game that we now hearken back to is no longer Georgia Ryan Day from a couple years ago, and that game with C.J. Stroud and the offensive yep. explosion. To me, it's the Oregon game, and you can do a lot of those things that they did in the Rose Bowl that I think will take advantage of some of Miami's aggressiveness, which for all the attention that we're paying to the Hurricanes up front, which is justified, their secondary is very suspect, and one of their sort of season-long starters has already been ruled out again from this game. So That is the matchup where Miami up front may have an edge, but everywhere else, Ohio State's going to have opportunities to make plays.
You feel confident on Wednesday, Bud? I know we're a couple days out and you haven't talked to anybody down there yet, but feel pretty confident about how this is going to go?
Yeah, just seeing them walk in and talking to some folks on the coaching staff as they were floating around the lobby last night, I think that the pissed off terminology that Ryan Day has used has carried over. Like, this is not a team that lost to Indiana and thought, well, that's it. Our season's gone. We gave it a good run, had a great regular. Like, they know that they let one get away. One of their goals got away, but they lost that game more than the Indiana won it. That's how they feel, and I agree with them. And I don't think that's going to happen again on Wednesday night. So, especially with going back to what you mentioned with Carson Beck, and we're talking about Miami's defensive line. Miami's offensive line, I think, is going to be in for one heck of a challenge against Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry and K-Mac and using Arvell potentially more. Matt Patricia, just talking to him in the last week and a half, there's a, as Tim May would say, there's a look in the eye. There's a gleam in the eye of Matt Patricia. And that's the part to me that's going to determine this game more than anything else. I don't see any world where Miami's going to set a season high point scored on Ohio State's defense after 25 days for Matt Patricia to get in the lab. And fully healthy at every single position on defense. The silver bullets are going to be flying in on Wednesday night, Bo. And to me, as I stand here right now at AT&T Stadium, with whatever, we're inside 48 hours, I don't have any doubt about the outcome.
All right, buddy. Good stuff as always. Enjoy it down there, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate you, man. See ya.
All right, there he goes. Austin Ward joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. The Jackets, Bake, you've been saying that one of these was going to come. Well, they got halfway to that five-gamer, or at least almost, with two in a row. We'll get to that and everything else that happened in a busy sports weekend around town coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Hey. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible.
with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, folks, it's
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The man has hosted shows with radio royalty, Spielman, Tor, T-Bone, just to name a few. So listen to his new show with Timmy Hall. If man can pull this one off, he's a miracle worker. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Chronic pain.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Kids, get ready for the Cotton Bowl with Chasing the Championship special tonight, 7:30, 10 TV. Dom, Adam, live from Dallas, plus Nicole and Tyvus back here in town as they get you ready for kickoff. Watch tonight at 7:30 on 10 TV and stream it live on 10 TV Plus and the 10 TV app. Chasing the Championship on The Fan and 10 TV is presented by Logan Services, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. A lot of fun to be had in that one. Bake, you asked me before the show started, if I had a good Christmas. Well, tore my meniscus. My family left me on Friday. What else? I'm currently snuggling with a dog, putting together Legos. That's essentially what my last few days. Did you guys have a good holiday? It's been great. Really great.
Yeah, it was nice to get away and relax a little bit, see some friends and spend some time with them. I figured, you know, your family's gone. You'd be living the that good bachelor life, Bo.
I know this is not probably the time of the year for the good bachelor life. Like I told my wife, I'm like, look, you want to go to California? Great. Go in the summer. I play golf every day. What am I supposed to do? This weather, this is, I mean, truly, as insane. We've had about as rough of a December as we've had in terms of cold. And then you get this warm up around Christmas. Last night I took Buddy Garrity out. It was over 60 degrees. And this morning we dropped 30 degrees and it's like Montana all over again.
It was interesting. I mentioned last night walking out of the Jackets game, people were like, oh my gosh, it's warmer out here than it was inside the arena. And then you wake up today and it's 40 degrees colder. I mean, yeah. All these great bowl games going on. You just belly up at the bar at the steakhouse. And
needless to say, I have not sought those out.
Or there's college basketball, Bo, just mentioning.
Oh, I know. I know all about it. Speaking of, you guys have this in here that the Ohio State women lost at UCLA, or they were here, lost to UCLA 82-75. Is this the game where the UCLA coach complained about the lack of coverage? Did I see that going around?
I did not see anything about that personally, but I know that Ohio State, there was a wild sequence, Bo, at the end of the third quarter in this game.
Yeah.
Where player Tiana Todd for Ohio State hit kind of an off-balance wild three as the clock was running down, and then UCLA got the ball back and hit a half quarter.
Yeah.
So it was like a crazy seven-second sequence to end that game. Unfortunately for Ohio State, they've been trying to, something Kevin McGuff has said this year, they've been trying to work on their depth. Unfortunately, they just didn't have the depth against UCLA yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. These are the comments. So Corey Close, head coach at UCLA, I found this on Awful Announcing Has It. She said, honestly, if I'm really being blunt with you, the energy in the building is great, but having no media here at all from either team, no AP, no nothing, doesn't say a lot. We're the only double-ranked game out today, the only one in the country. We had no media day today. No media here. You're the only one that's asked to talk to me. And to credit to you, and I don't mind if you print that either, like every other game that has two ranked opponents, not having more coverage over this particular game, disappointingly, honestly. Here's the thing. Media's changed. Media's changed. There is no longer the Columbus Dispatch, and they're doing the very best they can with a lot of great people. But when I got to town, there was probably 30 people who wrote in the sports section of the Columbus Dispatch. There was a beat person on every single team. And guess what? There was a Buckeye women's basketball beat person for probably six of the various printed sites. Buckeye Sports Bulletin, all of them. They all had that. There were newspapers from all these little towns that would come in and cover it. But because nobody buys those anymore, and that's been for a long time, those staffs have all shrunk. I don't think it's any sort of disrespect meant to her. My hunch is, or to the women's game necessarily. Rather, it is there just aren't people doing those jobs anymore.
You say a lot of great people when you talk about the Dispatch, but it's really not a lot anymore. They run about as a skeleton crew as they can. Now the people they have still do a great job, but it's just like you said, it's not like it used to be. And this. When people would push back on the Caitlin Clark stuff, like, oh, get out of here with Caitlin Clark. There's all these amount of girls that are just as good. They're better, blah, blah, blah. That may be true, but the fact of the matter was nobody should be complaining about her because she moved the needle when she got eyeballs on the sport. As this UCLA coach's point, that was number four versus number 19 yesterday, and number 19 was on a 9-game winning streak. But in this town, everybody's down in Texas right now.
And I think in most towns, I don't think it's a Columbus problem. I just think it's a matter of the amount of people who used to cover things is cut by three-quarter.
I'm guessing nobody flew from Los Angeles for this game.
There was one beat person that she was talking to.
One person.
Yeah, so there's probably, I don't know if it's the LA Times. There's somebody who still has.
Even believe it'd be an LA Times. It'd have to be something like some fan-sided type.
No, it's the LA Times.
Was it really? Wow.
Yep, covers you. But it's a guy named Benjamin Royer. He also covers UCLA for the Orange County Register. So he's basically the beat writer for. He does like three jobs: Orange County Register, LA Times, the Press Box Pod. So he's got kind of three separate things that he's covering. So. But that's it. It's all, I would imagine that even the media throng surrounding Ohio State football isn't what it was 15 years ago. It's just different. The landscape's changed a little bit.
I don't know about that with Ohio State football. It may not be as concentrated, but it's more spread out. There's more places, so I'm guessing there's just as many people.
What I mean is traveling with the Buckeyes.
I see what.
Not more. No, there's still a billion. There's more people than ever talking about it on all sorts of different platforms. But just in terms of like in the old days, like 100 members of the media would travel with Ohio State everywhere they went. I mean, it was like Real Madrid everywhere you went. My guess is that's not quite the case anymore. Your Jackets have won two in a row, Bake. You said it was coming.
First time in a month.
Need it.
December 1st, December 4th.
Need it.
That was a fun game last night in Nationwide last night because you had the physical stuff. Barzal taking the baseball swing to Marchment's ankle because he thought that he kneed Schaefer, which he did. He did trip him, but he didn't knee him. Marchenko diving on top, and there was just there was an energy in the building last night. And I'll tell you what, Bo, when Provorov scored, so they have this thing now at the at Nationwide where. They come out of break and they have this Elmo thing on the scoreboard that fires everyone up. And there's an Elmo balloon in the rafters at Nationwide for like the past 2 years. And the crowd goes berserk. So they do that coming out of break. And Provorov scores a few seconds later. And then a minute and a half later, Marchie scores to take the lead. That's as loud as that was playoff loud in that building last night. It was insane. And I think the good thing. There's obviously been something with Kirill Marchenko. He missed a few games, and he hasn't looked like himself. I think the break was really good for him because he looked like himself last night.
He did. And good for them for winning a couple in a row. And now let's tackle a couple of more on top of those things. And then maybe you can get kind of back into this thing before too long. Michigan found its man. How do we define found its man? It's an interesting concept. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
I wish I'd gotten...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
I was what he needed, and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Bring more! Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities, victory over setbacks, victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. We're just 2 days away from the Cotton Bowl as Ohio State takes on Miami New Year's Eve. Cotton Bowl Media Day about to get underway here at 10:15. It'll run till 11 this morning. The Browns and Bengals both get wins in Week 17. Cleveland used a stout defensive performance to beat the Steelers 13-6. Cincinnati got two Joe Burrow touchdown passes to Ja'Marr Chase and two rushing touchdowns from Chase Brown as they rout the Arizona Cardinals 37-14. Kirill Marchenko scored two goals, including the game winner with 3 minutes left. The Columbus Blue Jackets beat the New York Islanders 4-2 last night. They travel to Ottawa tonight to face the Senators at 7. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan gets underway at 6:30. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI at bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Monday edition of the program. We will be dipping into the Cotton Bowl Media Day coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Dom and Adam King down in Big D. And we'll dip in and give you a little taste of the flavor down there. One of the things that's been a theme here with the two most recent Big Ten powerhouse hires is, boy, they stumbled into a home run. I mean, you heard that at Penn State. They stumbled into the guy they should have hired right away. Why didn't they hire Matt Campbell from the beginning? Oh, there was a confusion in agents, and they reached out, and then the agent didn't get back, and so they moved on. Remember that story? And they ended up with Matt Campbell. Well, never mind the fact that initially they were hoping for Kalen DeBoer, and then Drinkwitz followed after that. And heck, they tried hiring Kalani Sitake, the head coach at BYU, and they thought they had a deal for him, and then stumbled into Matt Campbell. Will Matt Campbell inevitably work at Penn State? I have no idea. None of us do. We have no idea if these things can work or not. I'm a guy who was in Florida when the University of Florida hired Urban Meyer, and all I heard is that can't work. You can't run the spread in the SEC. That's all you heard. He's really going to bring the spread down here? You can't run that. Can't run spread option in the SEC. Linebackers are D-line. They're too powerful. They're going to hurt your quarterback. You can't put your quarterback in harm's way. Worked out okay. Urban won a couple of national titles. Not to suggest that Matt Campbell's going to do it, but the notion that anybody knows how these things are going to go when they hire him, it's absolute foolish to think that you're going to. The same is true of Kyle Whittingham, who was hired at Michigan since last we spoke. Was he their first choice? No. Much like Penn State, they thought they were going to get Kalen DeBoer. Once that went in a different direction, they pivoted and tried hiring Kenny Dillingham. Kelly Dillingham used that to get more money at Arizona State, and they ended up with Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham may work out perfectly at Michigan. He might. I think he ran an incredible program at Utah through all these years. But to sit here and say that we know absolutely that this is going to work, no, we do not. This is a guy who has never coached at a place like this. He has recruited a specific player for a very long time at Utah. He is going to be recruiting a very different player at the University of Michigan. He's also 66 years old. He's 66 years old. So there's a finite amount of time that he can do that. Now, he looks healthy as a horse. He looks great. But the idea that this is going to be some 10-year fix. No, this is a Band-Aid until you can get the surgery. That's what this is. This is, we've got a mess. He's going to come in and clean up this mess, and then we'll deal with it in 4 or 5 years where we go from here. He had a press conference over the weekend. He was asked what was appealing about the Michigan job. Here was his answer.
What was appealing was the obvious. I mean, it's Michigan. I mean, that says it all. I mean, Michigan and all that entails, the tradition, the big house, it's one of the most storied programs in all of college football. So that was a no-brainer. Immediate priorities, roster retention. You know, meeting with these young men in this day and age of college football, transfer portals opening up in about 5 days. That is absolutely job one, is to make sure that get a chance to get in front of these young men and tell them what I'm all about, find out what they're all about. And that would go for the incoming recruits as well. Got to get on the phone. They're not here physically yet, but get on the phone with the class that we just signed. Outstanding class, by the way. I believe it was ranked number 12 in the country and a lot of good young players in that class, and can't wait to get, I think, about half of them, maybe a little over half of them will be here at the break and enrolling with us for the winter conditioning and spring football. So that is job one without a doubt. Is it's all about players. College football is all about players, and if you got good players, you got a chance. And so retention of the players in the program and retention of the players that we just signed, that's the absolute priority.
The last part, he's 100% right on. Can he recruit at Michigan? Can he retain at Michigan? Can he keep Bryce Underwood on campus? I mean, like that's the job. He's never worked in this part of the country. Never. I mean, his entire professional career has been out west. I mean, it's as a coach, it's all been out west. Now, he did play in the USFL with the New Orleans Breakers in 1984. But in terms of his coaching career, it's BYU, Eastern Utah, Idaho State, and then he's been at Utah since 1994. I mean, just think of that, guys. That's 30 years at Utah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people always think that Urban Meyer took him to Utah. No, he was already there. He's been the head coach for 21 years, mm-hmm. but he's been at Utah for 32.
Yeah, he was there 32 years. He's never recruited in this part of the country. He's never gone to battle on the recruiting and NIL front against the type of schools that he's going to go against now. He's always done bargain shopping. He's done player rehabilitation, player who struggles someplace, come to me and I'll make him better. And then they built players at Utah. But this is as fish out of water. It's as fish out of water as Rich Rodriguez. One had a Southern drawl and one's from California. But in terms of you've never been in this part of the world, it's apples for apples.
There's very few times Utah and Ohio State or Utah and Michigan are recruiting the same player. That's why I remember how crazy it was that defensive back, his name was Clark Phillips, who was going to come to Ohio State. He might have even committed to Ohio State, but then flipped to Utah. He was from out that way. And if you remember, he played against Ohio State in that last Rose Bowl when they played each other. And that was kind of a big deal because of that. But that is a once in 21 years type of situation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? But this is a lot. This is the first time. I mean, I think of the Rich Rodriguez hire. Now, that was an unmitigated disaster at Michigan in part. And by the way, our buddy John U. Bacon wrote a book about it, about the Rich Rod experience, in part because the people up there did not embrace Rich Rodriguez at all and made it incredibly difficult for him. They're in a much more desperate time now because of how sullied their program is. So my guess is you're going to get the full embrace of Michigan for Kyle Whittingham. He did a little to win some people over. He was asked in his press conference yesterday if he dislikes Ohio State. Here's the back and forth.
And just to be clear, do you dislike Ohio State, or is that something you have to learn how to do?
I do now, I guess. But but like I said, I followed them for quite a while. Me and Urban were on the same staff at Utah. I was his defense coordinator, so there was a real tight bond there. And I followed his career and obviously stayed in touch throughout the course of his career and had great success there. But now I'm on the right side of the deal now. So, yeah.
That's wild that Urban's got proteges on both sides of that game now. Whittingham isn't a true protege in the sense that he was there previously, but obviously Urban and him have had a great relationship. This was on Wake Up Barstool. Is this from this morning, or was this from?
I believe this was from this morning. I'm not positive with that, but I think it was. It was Portnoy talking to Urban.
Oh, let's have a listen.
Yeah, we talk all the time. You know, I imagine I'll take a hiatus for that week as we Big Noon and Barstool gets ready for the Wolverine for the robbery game, but. Yeah, he's one of my closest friends. So, ironically, Ryan Day is also one of my closest friends. So these are two elite coaches that are in the game, which it should be that way.
How do you guys define success for Whittingham at Michigan? Like, what's the base level?
So I think to me, if he keeps them relevant in the 9-3 range, maybe a 10-2, kind of fighting for that playoff spot. I'm with you, Bo. A lot of people are trying to tell you this is a home run hire. Well, if this is a home run hire, they would have hired him on December 13th when he reached out to them about the job. But Michigan didn't want, and he'll be 67 by the time he coaches a game for them. They didn't want a guy 67 coaching their program. They wanted a guy for the next couple, they wanted their future. They didn't want a guy for just a couple years. But I do think this Whittingham hire. I think Michigan had the chance here to go off the rails and kind of go down that Rich Rodriguez, Brady Hoke, even though Hoke had some good years there. They had a chance here to fall off the cliff and go to irrelevance for a while. But I think what this hire to me is a sustainability. I think he will come in and keep them on the right track. I don't know if they're going to play for a national championship while he's here. In fact, I would bet against that. But I don't think they're going to have the fall that they possibly could have if it went another way.
I felt like when this news came down, like it was the perfect quote unquote bridge transition to the next guy. I felt like Whittingham can, like you're mentioning, Baker, can keep them afloat for the next few years. And I feel like the expectation is at least the playoff and like consistently getting there, being in the conversation, especially if we expand this thing. And it's not your Dusty May that Michigan hired. You're not going to have him for maybe the next 10 to 15 years. I feel like he's somebody that you're going to have for maybe five to 10.
Five at best, probably, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. It's hard to imagine longer than that. In the old days, I would say his age really would have been used against him, despite the fact that, again, that he looks incredibly fit and is incredibly fit. In the old days, it would be used against him because in recruiting, right, they would say, well, he's not even going to be here.
For sure.
This is an every year build a new team world now. Go ahead, Bick.
I was just going to say, you heard Reimer mention Dusty May there. Mm-hmm. Is that the only reason Ward Manuel has a job still?
So. Yeah, I think so.
Goodness gracious. How he was allowed to make this hire is baffling.
Do you think I don't think he was. I think those regents made that hire. And I think Ward, they're just looking to make sure that there's enough. I don't know how, if you look so far. I mean, this all happened under his watch. And yeah, I'm sure the Dusty May thing is the only, that's it. That's the feather. It's a massive feather. It's a home run hire. But that's about the only thing there. And I do think it's interesting though, how Penn State and Michigan, they ended up with the perfect guy right away. Okay. Spare me on that. By the way, the one program in this league that made a coaching hire that got their guy, I think it was Michigan State. I think Michigan State got their guy. I think everybody else had to settle, and they're talking them into what they settled for. Not to say Campbell and Whittingham won't win a lot. They very well could. And I think they're both really good coaches. Whittingham especially is an elite, elite coach. But you got to. It's different here. It's a level of recruitment that you got to do that he did not have to do at Utah.
James Franklin won a lot at Penn State too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's it. And now he's at Virginia Tech. Media Day set to commence down in Dallas. We'll dip in on that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Colin, man.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we've never once seen a bill. It gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son and we're going to beat cancer together. Now, he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
T-Bone and Tybus.
I need you to know how happy I am to see that man get fired.
He cares about no one's family.
Clearly he knows. What, is his family not getting SNAP benefits now because of this?
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Slight chance of snow showers today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy. Gusty, strong winds and highs near 30 means our feels like we'll be in the teens and 20s. For tonight, a slight chance of snow, otherwise mostly cloudy again with overnight lows in the 20s. The breezy winds still continue tonight and into your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies on Tuesday and highs in the upper 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
One, two, three!
Football season is weird because we actually look forward to Mondays. It's Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion. Served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. We are proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Cotton Bowl Media Day underway. Underway down in Dallas. Let's dip in right now. And is this Adam or Dom with Arvel Reese?
This is Adam with Arvel Reese.
Landing here, you got to handle business and get up out of here. Like, this ain't no place you really want to be. We trying to get up. We trying to do what we got to do and get up out of here. You feel me?
You guys have been here before. How much does that routine help that this is not your first time in the stadium?
Yeah, it definitely. I've been here 3 times. So, yeah, it almost felt normal to be here for me. But, yeah, like I said, we here to handle business, you know.
When you hear yourself getting all these accolades postseason here, I know you never make it about yourself, Arvel, but did you take a second to celebrate a little bit of what you've achieved this year?
Celebrate? I say no. Like, as in, I mean, I was happy when I heard of it, you know, but I don't think I celebrated at all.
Yeah. All right. Arvel Reese, thanks for taking the time. We're going to go over to Dom, who has Brian Hartline. A lot of interesting questions to ask him there, Dom.
All right. Thanks a lot, Adam. Brian, first of all, welcome to Dallas. And just your feeling right now. Obviously, you're a new head coach, but you're going to be with the Buckeyes through this, hopefully, magical run.
Yeah. Dallas is like home. I think we've been here 4, 5, 6 times for the last couple of years. So enjoyed being back. But, yeah. Full steam ahead. Really excited. The prep's been great with the Buckeyes. And so I know we're excited to be in Dallas and looking forward to today's Thursday practice. And then a big Friday walkthrough and ready to rip it on Wednesday.
Give us a little insight on how the play calling, everything will work for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that not a whole lot has changed. I think that, you know, for us, Coach Day is definitely going to be, you know, more involved, but he's always involved week to week, and so from an operations standpoint, we're trying to maybe make some tweaks and try to, you know, enhance some things, but no, I think not a whole lot's changing from a game day standpoint.
I know no one's more critical than you guys are. You grade yourselves so hard, and the standard is so high. What did you learn, do you think, offensively in the game against Indiana, and what needs to be better this week?
Yeah, I think that comes down to execution. I think that, you know, for us, we got to do a better job of putting guys in position to make plays. I think that the guys would own, you know, when in position, they have to make those plays. But I think at the end of the day, our prep has been excellent. I think that we've well moved on from that game, and we're really focused on the Hurricanes now in the next couple of days. So, that game is long gone, but I think for us, moving forward, it's more about what we're going to do on Wednesday than what we didn't do in the past.
Let me ask you about the receivers. Obviously, Jeremiah and Carnell, how healthy are they, and how anxious do you think they are to get on this fast track?
Yeah, I don't think they're anxious. I think they're just they're excited. They're healthy. Had a great week of prep, great week and a half of prep, and they just want to be on the biggest stages. And here at Ohio State, that's what you get. And they're looking forward to being in A&T Stadium, and AT&T Stadium, and ripping it versus the Hurricanes.
You know, you're still a young man. I've been covering you a long time. Covered you as a player at Ohio State. You bleed scarlet and gray, just from the standpoint that. You know, it's coming to an end. I mean, you're always going to be a Buckeye, but your time here is coming to an end. How do you reflect on that? You're always going to be a Buckeye.
Yeah, I don't think anything's coming to an end. I think that it's just, you know, life, there's chapters, and I look forward. I love this chapter, and we're going to make sure it ends the right way, and then look forward to the next chapter. But full focus is on this chapter, and the next chapter will come when it's time.
You know, I love what Coach Day did from the beginning. The second you guys won that national championship, he said, hey, we're not defending nothing. we are. We won the national title. They're not taking it away from us. We're going to pull everything down. We want to be the first team to win back-to-back. I mean, now it's time to go do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we work all season, all year long, to put ourselves in position for this right now. And we've done a great job of doing that. Now it comes down to the last three games and starting with this first game. But we are judged, we are critiqued based on, you know, where we are right now. So we know that. We're excited for it, and the guys are ready.
Last thing, look at the camera. Your message for Buckeye Nation, Brian.
Let's kick ass. Go Bucks.
There you go, Brian Hartline. Thank you, Coach, so much. Thank you.
Okay, so here's what I want to start doing. I wanted, first of all, and Fish texted me this, and this is great. He goes, I love how Dom is welcoming everybody to Dallas. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, like he's LBJ. Like all of a sudden he's the mayor of the city, and he's inviting everybody to Dallas. So I thought that part's funny. I think we should do a thing where we it's interview off. So you get a point if you get an A-lister. So who gets more A-listers, King or Tabari? And right now, 1-1. King got Arvell Reese, A-lister for sure. Dom got Hartline, which is probably on a very short list of the ones I was most curious about. I am curious how Brian's managing all of this, bouncing back and forth. And as this goes on, what you, I think you did get a little window though when he said not much is going to change play calling. You can kind of read into that what you will.
Well, he said all of his focus is on this. There's no focus anywhere else right now. It's all, everything's, all systems go on the Buckeyes right now for him.
How could there be enough time in the day?
There's not.
I mean, the portal opens next week. People are pre-portaling. Like, he's got to put a roster together. Do you think Lincoln ends up there?
I've thought about it.
Right?
I've thought about it. But here's the one thing, maybe not, is we talked about this year with this team, with Ohio State, is whoever won the starting quarterback job was going to tell you what kind of offense they want to run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Lincoln's a Ferrari. Lincoln may be a Hummer. I don't know if he's a Ferrari. And I'm guessing Hartline wants to run a Ferrari. He's a Lambo kind of guy.
Yeah, he definitely is a Lambo type of guy. Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. As of now, Lincoln's not in the portal. Or not intending to go into the
portal. I was going to say, the portal hadn't opened yet, technically.
Right. Although we know.
Got to wait until January 2nd, Bo.
It's a long list in that portal. We'll continue to dip in with Adam and Dom. And so far, tied 1 win apiece. I think both of them got A-listers to start. My guess is the pre kind of, they did that ahead of the game. Like, had those set up to when it went live, they're ready to go. Oh, who's got them?
Dom has Caleb Downs now.
Let's go. Go.
Here we go.
I mean, it definitely added a little bit of fuel to the fire because I lost my freshman year, and it made me want to come back and play better my sophomore year. And I think that was a lot of the way that everybody else on the team felt, just because they didn't have the success that they wanted to earlier in their career. So I think that was a hungry team, and we got to be the same way this year.
Were there any young guys that you kind of, you know, sort of taken under your wing or felt like somebody you needed to kind of talk to and bring along?
I mean, everybody that hasn't been in the circumstance, I feel like that's my job. Somebody that's been here to do that. There's no reason to name any names, because at the end of the day, every player needs leadership, and every player, I have to be a leader to everybody that I can be to and everybody that needs it. But, yeah, I mean, if anybody needs that, I'm here for it.
Terry, your team's repeat as champ. I'm curious, now that you're in it, what is so difficult about going back to that?
I think it's the intensity level that you have to have, and the intentionality and focus. I think that adds to being able to play every game with the right mindset to put yourself in a position to win.
Caleb, we've never seen an Ohio State football team win back-to-back national titles. You think about the great Woody Hayes, and the second that the celebration ended, Coach Day said, hey, we're putting all that stuff down. He singled you out as one of the guys that said, take the stuff down. This is a new year. The fact that your coach went out there and said, hey, we want to be the first team to win back-to-backs. I mean, I guess it's time to go back him up now. And you guys feel that way, right?
I mean, we're just focused on winning on Wednesday. Nothing really matters other than that. We can't accomplish bigger goals until we accomplish the win on Wednesday. So that's all we're focused on, just winning on Wednesday.
What's the...
All right, so Dom doesn't get full credit for an A-list on that, because that was a general media availability.
Yeah, I just heard that they were sending it to Caleb Downs, so I thought he
no,
was...
No, 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 that's perfect. That's what we wanted. The other point of discretion I think that we're going to have a conversation about is we're going to have to go back and get a real timeline of if this... Because this is Domi's... He's going with this now today. The second they got done celebrating that national championship, the second after he walked off the podium, he said, take it all down. I don't know if it was the second that it happened, but he's running with it. He's running with it right now. So that's the way all of those things. Go ahead, Bake.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure it was like the beginning of spring ball. They were a day or two in when they said it was all coming down. But
why ruin a good story? Donnie's no. turned it. It's just like Davy Crockett. Like, just tell the story, and the story sometimes better than the reality. The way you go.
Won it on a Monday night. They were putting it up Tuesday. Said, not in this place. We're on to the next one.
Take that banner down as soon as he got off the stage. All right. We're back in 2 minutes. We'll continue to dip in. So far, the tally. Adam, 1A-lister. Dom, 1A-lister. We'll continue. Bishop and Friends are here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Cotton Bowl Media Day going on down in Dallas. Let's head back there now. Here's Dom with Caden Curry.
Defensive end, why not your turn this, huh?
I know. I definitely need to get in contact with them and just kind of talk to them about how I do it. Where's the magic at in here? So just trying to figure it out.
Let's talk a bit about this matchup. Obviously, Miami, anybody that's in this tournament's a good team. Just as you look at them, what jumps out with these guys? And it all starts with their quarterback, Carson Beck, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're all great players. Carson Beck's a great player, and their offense is very explosive. And just talking with our offense, they definitely have a great defensive line, and they have a great defense. So just being out here and playing as our 11 guys and just coming out here to win. I mean, that's the one job, one goal.
Does this defense have an edge? And here's what I'll say. I saw all the pundits and all the supposed experts kind of saying, oh, they lost too much on the defensive front. This is going to be a rebuilding year. And, you know, the old saying here is you don't rebuild, you reload at Ohio State. And I have said from the get-go, I thought the defense would be just as good this year and that the defensive front would be a strength. Even though a lot have said, you know, they lost too much. Is that giving you guys a slow burn?
I mean, yeah, definitely just hearing that from last year. I mean, obviously those guys were great guys last year, and we're so excited for them to leave and go do bigger things. So we definitely knew we had a great chip on our shoulder and we had a target on our back, and we just knew people wanted kind of us to fall, and we knew we would rise, and we knew what we had to do to put it in, and we're just happy and grateful to be here.
You know, I can say there was a lot of nonsense that was being spouted out there, but how about the way you guys have rallied around Coach Johnson and man, playing for him?
Oh, I know. It's such a high honor and high praise to play for Coach Johnson. He's such a great guy, and he just has so many greats behind him to back it up. And it's just, as being as our D-line, we just love playing for him, and we'd love nothing more than just to go win for him.
How much fun are you guys having on the defensive front? Because, you know, Coach Day has said from the get-go he wants a defense that affects the quarterback. We have seen that all year long.
Yeah, I mean, just going out there and doing our job as the D-line, we know we got to make that quarterback's day kind of hard, and we just know our back end's going to help us out in the end.
All right, so another A-lister for Dom. Now, Fish's contention is that when they go to the podiums, they should get credit for that. What do you think, Bake? Should they get credit for A-list if they go to the podium?
I think so, just because... The way they've got it set up, like they've got them sitting at a table there, which is that's the funniest thing I thought just now with Caden and Dom, because you can see Caleb in the background and his table's up high. Caden looks like he's just sitting at like a lunch table.
Yeah, they've got tables out in the field a little bit.
Dom is standing and Caden is low and he doesn't even stand up. So Dom looks like he's way taller and.
All right. So we should also, if you're at home and you took the week off, there should be a drinking game every time Dom says something about, do you have a certain edge? If he asks a question about an edge, or if he has anything about naysayers. By the way, this team started the year ranked number 3 in the country, and he will talk about people. Everybody doubted the Buckeyes. They're third in the country. Like, they've been number one most of the year. You're still going to get both of those things.
By the way, so, Bo, I don't know if you've seen the video here while you're there. Those quarter zips that they gave them look awful sharp. We need to get our hands on a couple of those.
The helmet?
No, it's got like a, it almost looks like some kind of Buckeye cotton ball type thing. It's pretty sweet. Like,
okay.
I think we need to try to get our hands on a couple.
I'll talk to Three, see if he can help us out. Here's another thing. Maybe this is how we determine what's an A-list or a B-list. And again, no shame in being a B-list. So you said that Caleb is at a big podium and then Caden was at like a table. So no. I think the threshold is big podium A-list.
Well, Adam had Arvell just walking around. It was like right at the very beginning.
That's a massive get right there. So basically what Adam did, that's an intrepid young reporter. What he did probably is Arvell was on his way to a podium. Yep. Adam grabbed him. That's what he did there.
I think that's what Dom did with Hartline too, because they were kind of standing around the midfield area too.
Yeah, and people were probably like, yeah, Dom, come on, let's go. You can have him for three questions.
We cannot
and Dom
be talking ourselves on this show into Adam King love. We can't do it.
You're right. It's a bad job out of me. I should never have done it. It's sad. It's sad portrayal. Right now, though, and so we missed while we were in break. Adam did have Julian, but we weren't able to, and that was he was asking the question. So I think, does he get credit for that, even though it wasn't on air?
I mean, now that we've brought it to air, I think we have to.
Okay.
All right. What's our point total now?
Right now, Dommy has, Fish is the boss, and he's saying that they should get credit for dipping in on podiums. So then right now, it's 3-2 to Barry. He leads 3-2 from A-listers.
Dom has Matt Patricia now.
Go. Oh, all right, let's go. Here we go. A-lister.
Basically, last year, Ohio State had the best defense in the country. Completely different kind of coordinator when you come in, and you still have the number one defense in the country. How do you kind of just explain that?
Yeah. That's a good question. I would say for us, I really just focus on this year. You know, I mean, last year they had great players and great scheme, and they did a great job, you know, really in their run. And again, just, you know, the defensive coaching staff is really intact, you know. So give credit to Coach Johnson and Coach Walton and Coach Guerrero and Coach Laurinaitis. Like, they've done a great job. I think those guys got to get more credit, really, for what's been going on for the last 2 years than, you know, for me, I'm just, I don't know, putting it together and calling it out on the field. Those guys do a great job, and the players. You know, I think the continuity of the guys that actually did play last year, you know, whether it's Sonny Styles or, you know, obviously Caleb Downs, like that core nucleus of really IGB, of putting that back out to those guys that hadn't played and cultivating that and making them step up to that challenge. I think the players have done a great job of it.
Coach, we're going live back to all over the world. hey, just you. Every time I see,
from day one, and you're always with your beautiful family, but you're always smiling. How much fun have you been having?
I mean, I'm having a blast. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope I'm smiling. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of joy, and like we were talking earlier, there's a lot of joy in what I'm doing right now. And like I said, the players are amazing. These kids they're so much fun to be around. And yeah, it's great. You know, I got my family around me too a lot, and they're kind of all in on everything that's going on and able to enjoy it too. So it just, that's what really makes me happy. I think for me, it's just, am I helping kids right now? Am I trying to, you know, hopefully give them some tools to help down the road, you know, and help their careers? Certainly winning right now and doing everything I can to help Ohio State and our amazing fan base is the most important thing to me. But I think the long game for the kids that we have here and hopefully helping set them up for life, whether it's in football or outside of football, is really important to me. And I think, I think we're trying to do that right now.
You know, I detect an edge with your guys, especially the guys on the defensive front. You know, the supposed experts said, it was going to be a down year for Ohio State on the front. They lost too much. And, you know, the old saying is that I've always heard is you don't rebuild here, you reload. And you've reloaded. Just from the outside looking in, it seems to me that the defensive front may be one of the biggest strengths of this defense. How do you see it?
I really give those guys credit for all the work that they've put in. They've come a long way. And I think one of the things, you know, I kind of had to tell him coming out of the spring and then through training camp, because we're in that grind where we're always kind of like critiquing and editing and trying to, you know, make them better, where I'm like, hey, fellas, don't forget where we started. You guys have come so far and just have worked so hard. Think about where we're going to be in another 2 months, another 4 months, and just give them credit for all the work they've put in. And I think the entire defensive unit, you know, whether it's the secondary, the linebackers, the front end, have all had to step up to different challenges through the course of the year and really have come through when we needed them to. So super proud of that group, super proud of those guys for not having a lot of experience and coming in this year and gaining that experience very quickly and just playing at a high level. So just super happy for them.
All right. So that one had a – that one he told Matt Patricia we're going live all over the world.
Yeah, and they waved at the camera too.
Did he pull the "you are looking live"?
We're going live all over the
world. I thought we were at the Rose Bowl for a second.
You imagine, like, Matt Patricia's been the defensive coordinator for multiple Super Bowl teams, and he's done Super Bowl media and all this. Coach, just so you know, we're going live all over the world right now, just so you're aware. You also got an edge. He talked about the edge. He detected an edge that was there, again, for Matt Patricia. So this is beautiful. This is great. By the way, he's whipping at him. He's 4-2 on A-listers. Crushed him.
Never a doubt, right? Never, I mean, with Tommy's connections.
Even at my best, I was no match for him on A-list interviews. There's no way that you could ever do it. Like, you would work so hard to, like, back channel some interview, and then all of a sudden he'd be, oh yeah, well, I got a one-on-one with Urban. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I can't top that. Good job out of you, old friend. He's undefeated.
If Coach Day walks out there, there's like three people he's talking to, and Dom's the first.
Dom's going right.
Tim May's probably number two.
That's exactly right. That's the way that goes. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, hit a little thing or not a thing. Keep our eye on things down in Dallas as well. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. It's not an easy thing to explain, but if you can, what goes into watching film as you get ready for opponent? Is it every part of every game? Is it more? Is it variations of that?
Well, for the head coach, yeah, I think it's you're watching every part, right? We have assistant coaches who focus specifically on their areas while also watching at least a couple games, full games. But yeah, as a head coach, you're watching every part. It's a lot. It's a time commitment, certainly, but you know, it's the price for winning. And, I'm a big believer in the power of film, and our guys watch a lot of film. They watch a lot of film on their own. It's kind of the culture we have right now, which is really good.
Your time as video coordinator, a good primer for that?
Well, that's a whole different level of time watching film. But, you know, I think one of the most beneficial things for me when I was video coordinator was I got a like master's class in coaching, because I sat with Thad Mata almost every day and watched film, just the two of us. And so that was really beneficial for me. Allowed me to see the game through a different lens, like Hall of Fame lens. And you know, I'm forever grateful for that time. And you know, being a video coordinator, having really done every job within a program throughout my career, I think is really beneficial when you're the leader of a program.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Jake, we've seen you use the challenge system that's new this year a few times already. Is it something that you kind of have to rely on input from your other coaches on the staff in a particular situation?
Yeah, you have to rely on input. I don't know if our Wi-Fi isn't great or like the fee. I don't know what it is, but I'd like that input a little faster. But a lot of it's a combination of input from guys on the bench who have access to an iPad and also instinct and gut and kind of what you see. So it's a blend of those things.
Okay, there's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on. Wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint. And the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Picture it.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
2003 Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Time for a little thing or not a thing on a Monday. Hit it, guys.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Bo, this is a little something to monitor for the Columbus Blue Jackets as they're heading to Ottawa for their game tonight. We heard whispers last night that the team plane had been canceled for last night, so they weren't going to fly after the game. They were going to fly this morning. Well, we found out this morning there were mechanical issues with the plane, so that's why they could not fly out. They were scheduled to leave at 10 a.m. this morning. However, the high winds and the weather has delayed them, so it sounds like maybe 1 o'clock they're shooting for here, the Jackets, to take off. But you got that 7 p.m. start there, something to monitor. You don't have too much time to push that flight back anymore, thing or not a thing.
Well, massive thing. That's pretty wild, too. They still have Blue Jackets Air, don't they?
I don't think they have Blue Jackets Air, but I think they do fly like a NetJets type thing or something.
Did they not have that anymore?
I don't believe so.
They had their own jet. I guess I haven't paid attention to how they're flying over the last several years. Massive thing for them, and you're right. Like if you're going to fly at 1, it's probably a 2.5 hour flight to Ottawa, and that's basically boots on the ground and go type of a situation there. So certainly something worth monitoring. My hunch is that my wife and 3 children will use this as an example to stay an extra day in California, is my guess. Is that I wouldn't be surprised at all if somehow all of their air travel tomorrow is affected by this. Whether it is or not is another story.
Didn't they have something like this happen last year, too? I think when they were going to D.C., maybe it was just because of snow and stuff.
Yeah, there was an issue with D.C. There was also an issue with somebody coming into Nationwide where they had to, a game was supposed to start at 7, and I believe it ended up getting pushed back to like 8:30. Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah, so this is... They also had the issue the one night at Nationwide where the water main broke, and they couldn't start the game until after, so I think that one got postponed till like an 8 o'clock start, too. There's no real... there's no real NHL guidelines with this. It's just kind of per what each team wants to do, so... Like, if the Jackets still want to get there and Ottawa's okay with it, they could delay the game till like 8, or they could postpone it. It kind of just depends on what the teams want to do here.
I would think you'd want to play it, even if you're you know, have sea legs, I think you'd want to play it, because you start trying to make these things up and it's a mess.
Well, and especially if you're the Jackets, any kind of momentum you may have, yes, I think you would want to ride that. 49ers punter Thomas Morstead punted twice last night for 81 yards in the victory over the Bears. Before that, he had essentially been off for the past month. He had not punted since November 30th in the 49ers' win over the Cleveland Browns. During that time, the 49ers became the only team in the last 100 seasons to score at least 80 points with zero punts in a two-game span. The 49ers, heading into last night's game, had gone 21 straight drives without a punt, the longest streak in the NFL this season, and the Niners' longest such streak in the last 40 seasons. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a massive thing, and I'm going to give you full credit, because I want to say 2 weeks ago on NFL Blitz, you started putting them back in your Super Bowl.
I did.
Yeah. It's amazing. They have no pass rush at all. They do not get up to the quarterback whatsoever. They're disinterested in it. Their offense, though, right now is humming at an elite level. And Kyle is just an incredible coach. And the way they're playing, I mean, heck, they could track down the one seed. They're 12-4, guys.
I believe the game against, they play Seattle next week, and the winner of that not only wins the NFC West, but is the one seed, because the Bears got knocked out of contention for it last night.
Are the Rams, they don't figure into it anymore?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, this is what we're used to seeing here in Columbus on Saturdays. Not much punting.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, hand up, I can't even tell you the punter's name here at Ohio State.
By the way, Fish alerting me that Dom asked Bo Jackson if he has an edge.
And he asked Bo Jackson to send it to Adam and told him what to say. And Bo goes, wait, what you want me to say?
Well, you got to put that pressure on a freshman. Come on. He's got to worry about the games.
You're going live to the world. That's what he said. You're going live to the world.
Only you are looking live. With his team's 23-17 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen is now the only first-year head coach in NFL history to win 12 or more games after taking over a team that had four or fewer wins the previous season. Thing or not a thing?
Massive thing. Very odd introductory press conference, but everything else that he has done is a home run. Remember, he agreed to that job, and then they were going to keep the general manager, and then he went away from it, and then they ended up firing the GM, and then he ended up taking the job. That's one of those, if you want me to cook the dinner, let me have a bigger say in buying the groceries, and it's worked out very big for Jacksonville and probably saved Trevor Lawrence.
Duval!
How about the turnaround for him, though? Like, that, crazy. Just the Jags season is just unbelievable. They look like a very dangerous team right now coming to the playoffs.
Bo, the Clemson National Championship will always be the biggest thing I did not have. Mm-hmm. But this might be number two. I just thought a new head coach, first-time head coach, a first-time offensive coordinator, a first-time defensive coordinator, yep, that there's no way this could work with the Jaguars. And then he comes in there with that goofy Duval, as we just played. Oh,
yeah. Duval.
And you were like, there's no way this guy's going to work. But it has worked in spades this year for them.
Dude, they buy into what he's selling. You could see it. Like, he's got fight to him. Like, it's, yeah. And by the way, how's Tampa since he left?
It doesn't look good right now.
No.
Winner take all next week.
I have an update. Dom has threes.
Go. Oh.
Working with the whole staff and kind of coming together with a good plan and utilizing our talent to the best of their abilities. And so, but no, we'll keep those things in house.
Let me ask you about the linebacker play out of Sonny and Arvell. How much fun has it been from you? Because I know you love these guys, you love this program, but to see these guys just kind of bloom into the stars they are.
Well, it all starts with them, honestly. The preparation, the mindset that they have. You know, Luke used to say, you know, your players got to overcome coaching. So I think there's some of that. Look, having Sonny in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, it's another coach. And the way he approaches the game, the way he studies film, Arvell has grown tremendously this offseason and this season with preparation. And then when you have the God-given talent of, you know, being 6'3", 6'4", and being able to move like that, there's a lot to work with. And so obviously you're blessed to have those guys in the room. But they've put all the work in and the preparation, and they've taken coaching, and they've done a really good job this season. And I think they would both tell you that the work isn't done yet.
Timmy, let me ask you. I know when they announced that Matt Patricia was coming here, you were like so excited. You guys have a history. You both were in the NFL. Just the way this thing has come together with you two sharing these duties and the way this defense has been built, you had a vision. Is it everything you thought it could be?
It's more. The thing is, starts with I've been knowing Coach P a long time, and James kind of talked about it earlier. He allows the staff to have input, you know, and have suggestions and thoughts, and he blends it together. He already has an elite mind when it comes to ideas and structure and how to attack things. So it's been fun. We're excited about it. I was excited when it came. More excited that he's here, to see.
I think we lost him.
All right, good stuff there from Dallas. Domi's running away with it. He's running away with it. It's now 4-2 on A-listers, and he got threes, who for this show would be the ultimate that he got our guy back on the air. So that's a win. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll continue monitor things down in Dallas as the Cotton Bowl Media Day is ongoing down there. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Start the year.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. It has been a tough season for Ohio's NFL teams, but they both got wins in Week 17. The Cleveland Browns used a great defensive performance, even though Myles Garrett didn't get a sack and didn't tie that sack record. They beat the Steelers 13-6 yesterday. That loss, coupled with the Ravens' win on Saturday, means a winner-take-all in the AFC North between those two next weekend. Cincinnati got 2 touchdown passes from Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase. They also got 2 rushing touchdowns from Trace Brown. They hammer the Arizona Cardinals 37-14 yesterday. The Columbus Blue Jackets have won back-to-back games for the first time since December 1st and December 4th. They beat the New York Islanders 4-2 last night at Nationwide. Kirill Marchenko scored 2 goals, including the game winner, with 3 minutes left. Breaking sports news as it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Keep your friends close
and your producers closer.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Monday. Cotton Bowl media availability has wrapped up or is wrapping up down in Dallas. We will get to the final tally on Adam versus Dom. It was a bit of a landslide, I think, as we thought.
Run away. Now,
some of it is just bad luck. Why am I defending King?
I have no clue.
What am I doing? Have I gotten soft? Usually I just bury that kid. Here I am trying to throw it. Maybe because I was him like 10 years ago.
It's because
I know the pain of trying to track down to bury.
I think it's because your family left you and they're not there right now during the holidays. You're feeling sentimental. Yeah.
I got to stop it. I don't want to be that way at all. Let's blitz the weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
All right, Bank, we'll start with you. I believe I had that. What did you have this weekend, buddy?
I believe I had in the Yankees, Yankee Stadium Pinstripe Bowl that Penn State would handle Clemson. They just seem to really buy in to that interim coach. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of crazy watching them play the other day. And I know Clemson obviously has their flaws this year. I don't think that Penn State football team was a bad football team. I think things just happened to them, and it kind of snowballed. Now, they don't have anybody on the perimeter, right? They don't really have any receiving threat, and they're not great in the secondary. But in the trenches, they're a pretty darn good physical football team. Ethan Grunkmeyer, I think, has progressed since he came in for Drew Aller after Aller's injury. Mm-hmm. They should have beat Indiana, probably. They played Ohio State tough for a half. I think it's kind of crazy that their season went the way that it ended up. But I just had a feeling Penn State was going to take care of business against Dabo and the Tigers.
To your point, they lost at home to Oregon by 6.
In overtime.
Right. Then they lost at UCLA by 5. They lost to Northwestern by 1, Iowa by 1, and then Buckeyes. So when did they fire Franklin? After UCLA or Northwestern?
It was after. Or no, it was. They lost 3 in a row. So it was after the Northwestern.
After the Northwestern loss, they lost 20. So they lost 3 games by a total, and then they lost Iowa the next week. So 2-7. They lost 4 games by 13 points consecutively before getting bombed by Ohio State, and then they played Indiana tough. What did you have, Rhyme Time?
I believe I had the Pop-Tarts Bowl stealing the show from bowl season so far. BYU wins a pretty good one against Georgia Tech, 25-21. And then, of course, after the game, you've got all the Pop-Tarts doing their little celebration, going down into the toaster and coming out edible. And I think there was a little shot at Notre Dame because they had 3 up on top of the toaster and one of them like jumped off. Like he was opting out of going down into the toaster. That's interesting.
It certainly is. I said this last year after Ohio State was in the middle of that run to the national title that Buckeye fan would be all in on year one of the playoff but would pull back in year two and that you'd become more choosy. And look, money's finite, like, and you have to decide how you're going to spend it. And I think what we're seeing is that spending New Year's Eve in Dallas is something that a great many Buckeye fans aren't as keen to do. And I think Ryan Day was pretty smart about this. Remember, their preference was to play in this game. They could have played this game in Miami, and it had nothing to do with giving Miami, in my opinion, nothing to do with giving Miami a home field advantage more than it had to do with Miami distractions. Dallas, no distractions. And I think all of those things are playing out exactly the way Ryan wanted them to. And I think that the ticket to get in price tells you all you need to know about how Buckeye fans are going to treat this thing going forward. I did not have that. What did you not have, Bake?
I did not have that I would be as entertained by as many of these bowl games as I have. And when I say that, I'll preface that with I'm not sitting down watching every minute of every one of these games. But I have dipped my toe in the waters a little bit. I thought the Minnesota-New Mexico game the other night was outstanding. Goes to overtime. By the way, those New Mexico uniforms were great. Mm-hmm. They kind of look like old-school Miami Dolphins with those things. BYU-Georgia Tech was a really good game. Virginia-Missouri was gross football, but it was turned out to be a pretty good game at the end. Houston LSU was fun. North Texas San Diego State. And I even enjoyed the Army game a little bit. I didn't see that coming from them as they beat UConn. So as much as we rag on these bowl games, I have been entertained by them.
They're good wallpaper.
I did not have college basketball ruining my Christmas, and that's because the news of James Naji committing to Baylor after being drafted 31st overall in the 2023 class.
Yeah.
That came on Christmas Eve, and then over the weekend there was a report that came out that Trenton Flowers, who has played in eight NBA regular season games, and he is also seeking interest from college schools. And it's like, what are we doing here, man? There's got to be some restrictions with this.
Yeah, that deserves a... Maybe tomorrow we can get into that at greater length because that's a terrifying precedent,
yeah.
I think, with what's going on. I do think those two instances you just mentioned are different in terms of one has played, the other obviously played overseas and such, but
yeah,
it's going to be tricky. I did not have that. I would not turn on a second of the National Football League on Christmas Day. I did not watch a single second of those three games that were on Christmas Day. I'm old in this sense, but like I just forgot they were on. I know that seems crazy, but you're celebrating Christmas with the family. You're having Christmas brunch, Christmas dinner, all of those things. I wasn't going into apps. Like, we had the NBA stuff on, the kids did, and they just kind of, it's almost like I forgot it even was played. I'm very curious to see what the numbers are for it, but I did not have that. I wouldn't watch a single second of it.
Well, the NBA games were much better.
They were, yeah, they were competitive.
Yeah, the games. NFL games were gross.
They were. Player who impressed for you, Bake, this weekend?
I know we talked a little bit about it already in this show, but to me it was Kirill Marchenko last night. There was obviously something physically that had been limiting him. We know that he missed a couple games at the end of November around the Thanksgiving break, and it just didn't seem right for him. Kirill looked like the Kirill that we saw in the first month and a half of the season last night, and that is a huge thing for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I really want to double up back-to-back weeks and go Christian Anderson 2 weeks in a row, because he had a plus 40 at halftime of their game on Sunday against Winthrop. But
you're not watching that, are you?
I watched the beginning of it, and Texas Tech got up 30, and I was like, wow, this is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You're seeking out Texas Tech to win through.
But I'm going to go with Nikola Jokic, because before the Christmas Day game, his last three games are going 29 points, 7 rebounds, and 14 assists, to then Christmas Day going 56, 16, and 15. And then on the 27th, he went for 34, 21, and 12. Like, this is just unbelievable. We're not seeing it. We've never seen stuff like this before.
Yeah, he's starting to get into that top 10-ish.
He needs more rings, though.
Yeah, he does. He does. But it's remarkable what he does on a night-in, night-out basis. I'm going to go Beamsy on here. I'm going to go back to Christmas Day. Beamsy, the middle boy, fine young champion, 12 years old. While the other two have no patience for presents, Beamsy hoards some. So it makes it seem like he's opening at the same rate that they are, but he's not. And he's actually taking a much slower time. So what typically happens is it gets done, and the other two are like, oh, we're done. Not old Beamsy. Not old Beamsy. He's got his little stack over in the corner. He's still got plenty more to do. He does it. He outsmarts him every year with it. It's such a good job out of him, which is why he's going to be in charge of the inheritance, and the other two will not. Player who disappointed. Who disappointed most, Bake?
To me, it was the depth on the Ohio State women's basketball team yesterday. They had been getting a lot of players every game, 5-6 scoring in double figures in their 9-game win streak. And the competition level was different yesterday, taking on UCLA. And Jelani Cambridge was her normal fantastic self. She scored 28 points, but they only had two others in double figures, while UCLA had 5 in double figures. That depth just didn't show up for the Ohio State women's basketball team.
I'll get real sicko here, Bo. I'm disappointed in Colorado basketball, because they had a strong start to the year, 10-2.
Chauncey Billups there, or is he in jail?
Coach Prime coaching them?
No. But they fell to Northern Colorado last night, 86-81 in Boulder. So a true home game for Colorado, and they lost in that one. It's always tricky after that Christmas break. You wonder how your guys are going to respond after a few days off with the family, and it did not go well for Colorado.
That's a deep cut right there, buddy. Player disappointed. The NFL for suspending DK Metcalf for 2 games. It's absolutely absurd that this is a guy that he had a problem with a year ago. The guy has a press conference last Friday. You want to sit DK down for one, you should never put your hands on a fan. Okay, fine. But the idea that, and by the way, this could cost the Steelers, and I'm not one to cry for the Pittsburgh Steelers, certainly, but at the same time, this could cost them the division. Because it was noticeable, a lot of those throws that Aaron Rodgers was trying to throw, fades yesterday, would have been DK on the other side of it. And they had nothing down the field at all. They basically played the whole game in a phone booth, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the idea he's out again next week for that, it's absurd to me that it's a 2-game suspension. He didn't punch the guy. He just grabbed him and pushed him away. I know you can't put your hands on a fan, but my God, this guy's had a record of being a problem. Like, stop putting him in those situations as well. Bud Kilmer, Honorary Coach of the Week. Who do you got, Big?
This is going to go to Father Mike Todd for me, as he has chimed in, Bo, and confirmed There is no more Blue Jackets air. So good job out of Mike Todd. One, for listening, but two, for setting us straight and keeping us between the navigational beacons.
I will double up with this one with Tom Izzo, because he has some comments about the James Nagy news, saying if that's what we're going to do, shame on the NCAA and shame on the coaches too, kind of calling out Scott Drew. And I love it. You make Tom Izzo the commissioner of college basketball. I'm all here for it.
Okay, but don't pay him $12
million. That's fair. That's
right.
Fair.
Like, Tom, you're part of the problem here, man. Like, the idea that people can't see that side of it, I always think, is just straight comedy. I'm going to go Tommy Reese here. And Shedeur Sanders deserves a lot of credit, too. And there were some ups and downs, certainly, in the game. But what he and Tommy Reese have done, with the help of Kevin Stefanski here over this season, to get Shedeur playing the way that he's playing, keeping his feet down the feet, keeping his feet in the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield and making throws, it gives you a little bit of hope if you are a Browns fan, certainly. All right, coming up next, we will look back on the media day down in Dallas. Very interesting question and answer from Jeremiah Smith about the Miami Hurricanes. You're going to want to hear that one. We'll have it for you coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homes for Our Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homes for Our Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, The Fan.
Hello,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Slight chance of snow showers today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy. Gusty, strong winds and highs near 30 means our feels like we'll be in the teens and 20s. For tonight, a slight chance of snow, otherwise mostly cloudy again with overnight lows in the 20s. The breezy winds still continue tonight and into your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies on Tuesday and highs in the upper 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The only thing better than watching football is talking about it. So we invented Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we're here to get you ready for the Cotton Bowl win with a Chasing the Championship special tonight. Our friends at 10TV, 7:30, Dom and Adam live in Dallas, plus Nicole and Tyvus back here in town. They get you ready for kickoff. Watch tonight, 7:30 on 10TV. Stream it live on 10TV Plus and the 10TV app. Chasing the Championship on The Fan. And 10TV is presented by Logan Services, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. The media day down at the Cotton Bowl has come and gone. This was an interesting one. This was Jeremiah Smith at the podium. Here is the question and the answer.
If Miami had won or played in games like this before you signed out of high school, would your decision may have been different?
Most likely, yeah. I'd probably end up going to Miami if, you know, things was on the right track then and there. But, you know, I chose to stick with Ohio State.
That was our buddy Ari Wasserman with the question. I'd understand how that is going to get a lot of attention. you have to remember the time and place of all of that. And you have to remember that signing day press conference that Ryan had where his knees buckled when the letter of intent came in signed by Jeremiah Smith. That's how important Jeremiah Smith was. And the one thing that I always tell you about the Jeremiah Smith recruitment is I think what he just said is honest because it wasn't about the money. Miami was offering more. Now he's going to be, by 18-year-old standards, an absurdly wealthy man regardless. Either way, it's a matter of hundreds of thousands of dollars in an instance where you're getting millions. But at the same time, Miami offered more. They offered more financially. And he chose to come to Ohio State because of what the program was all about and what the development was all going to be about under Ryan Day and Brian Hartline. And it's all worked out. He's a two-time consensus first-team All-American. He's going to have a chance to go down next year. I don't know, can't be many three-time consensus first-team All-American wide receivers, and that's he's got that. And by the way, he's enriched himself. Look at all that's happened because of, in part, because he came here. It all worked for him. Everything that he thought that he was going to get out of Ohio State, he's gotten. I did see Kevin Clark, who's with ESPN and formerly, I want to say he was with The Ringer at one point, but he's with ESPN now and he does some stuff with the Omaha production stuff with Peyton Manning. He did have a quote tweet out and he said something to the effect of, there are no rules, play for Miami on Wednesday. I guess who could stop him if he decided to? That's probably the next evolution of this. But I think it's probably the best example of everything that Jeremiah Smith wanted out of coming to Ohio State, he has received in spades. Our final tally on the media day, Dommy's the winner in this one. I think he was always going to be the winner. He was such a prohibited favorite in terms of landing A-listers. My final tally was Dommy 4, Adam 2. My overarching theme of the media day from our two intrepid young reporters down there was the defense has an edge and everybody has an edge and people are doubting the Buckeyes. Steady diet of people doubting the Buckeyes from Dommy. They're 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I think that's the way it goes. And I listen, for this program, threes is the ultimate. I mean, he used to be here with you. He got threes, so I mean, he should win hands down.
Dommy. I can't believe it's been this long. I think I still have it, and maybe I've put it out. There's the amount of nonsense and tomfoolery that he and basically what happens in these things is all of these media days, all of these availabilities end up kind of being the same. And it doesn't really matter if you're in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl or you're in Tempe, Scottsdale for the Fiesta Bowl, or you're in Los Angeles for the Rose or Miami or wherever you are, Sugar Bowl, whichever one you go to, they're all relatively the same in terms of how they go about their business. The one big thing that you get tired of though is there's so much coach speak that goes on. So when you get a real answer like the one you got from Jeremiah, it's a bit of an attention getter. But in order to entertain ourselves on these trips, we would just go do things. And so let me just tell you, like Tiberi on Bourbon Street, that's all you need.
Priceless.
That's all you need. That's all you need. And so we had a great producer named Rob Coons who used to say to us, you guys just want to go get into trouble. And so, I'll go. Let's go down to Cafe Dumont. Let's go have a little fun with maybe a little witchcraft down on Bourbon Street or in Dallas. Let's go to the Stockyards in Fort Worth and go look at some Longhorns, like those type of things. We rode the... I didn't get on it, but I think Dommy got on the Mechanical Bull at Gilly's, which is like a legendary bar in Dallas. He wanted to do a whole Dealey Plaza thing, and I'm like, dude, I don't know if we want to open that can of worms on the Kennedy assassination on a bull preview, but if you want to, we could do that too. But those are the things you look for in all of this. And then the crazy thing was in those days, and this kind of goes back to how we started the show, in those days, the bull truly was an exhibition. I mean, I think of the non-national championship bowls that I covered, for the most part, in terms of what was on the line, it was just kind of fun. The only one that I can remember that it like mattered a ton that they won was when Jim Tressel beat Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl. And I remember the bus driving by us and he mimicked like getting the monkey off his back because the criticism of Tress at that time was he couldn't beat the SEC. That was the criticism. He was coming off of those losses to LSU and Florida, and he couldn't beat the SEC, couldn't hang with the SEC. And then to beat Arkansas with Ryan Mallett and those guys, that gave him a little bit of juice, and that was one that he desperately wanted to win. But the majority of the rest of them, it's fun when you win them. But like, for example, in 13, losing to Clemson, it was like, okay, on to the next. We got another season to prepare for in 14. It was kind of that simple.
Do you know what my favorite part about that story you just told about Dom is?
Yeah.
Is if you know Rob Kuntz at all, like if you have just met Rob, you would never think that's the guy that's going to be like, hey, you want to go get into some trouble?
Yeah.
But then after you get to know Rob a little bit, you're like, yeah, oh, you're going to have a good time when you go out with Rob.
He's great.
But if you just meet him, he's like the most straight-laced, professional, forward guy that you've ever seen.
He's a Spectrum now.
Correct.
And has been for a long time. Does a great job running with a lot of their work there, and has an integral part to play in the high school football championships and all of that. But yeah, what it comes down to is, and this is the way that this would, when we used to do this, we would have to do like an hour special every night when I was at Channel 10. Like, it was an hour special every night leading into it. A lot of half hour specials, live walls. It was so much content that you had to try to produce. Now, we had a massive staff at that time. We had, you know, two full-time producers. We had two full-time photographers. Moose Spahn was our sports director, and he kind of oversaw all of it. He was Geppetto kind of pulling all the strings. And we had Hogan and Dom and me and D-Fron and, later, Kayla was with us, but we had four or five on-air people in addition to everything else. So you just massive staff that would go down there. But inevitably, like, you just get bored of the football, and so you're in these places, and you just try to find something to do. And that's kind of the way that it always worked. But and this is very different tone, though. And I think you even picked up on this when we were dipping in today. Like, I think Adam asked Arvell the question about, did you celebrate winning things? Like, they're not in that mode. They're in game week mode. Some, you know, Dommy was asking several of the guys about, hey, you know, we're trying to win this championship, the edge, all of that stuff. They're like in one game at a time mode. That tone is so different than the way bowl tone used to be. Bowl tone used to be tomfoolery. I don't even know like what I did with Tyvus all those years ago. I don't think you could do that now, because it doesn't have that playful feel to it. Because this is just one of three if you're a Buckeye.
Yeah, it seems like you wouldn't be able to do that anymore. And especially right now. And maybe I don't even think you could get away with it in the national championship week, because they're so focused. You're so focused on what you need to do. But yeah, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Yeah. It's going to be really weird Wednesday night. When, hopefully, if Ohio State wins this Cotton Bowl and beats Miami, that they're up there on a stage with confetti falling trying to hand Ryan Day a Cotton Bowl trophy when that's the last thing he wants to do right now. He wants to go start working on whoever it be in that next game, whether it be Georgia or Ole Miss.
And by the way, pretty good advantage to get the extra day on whoever it is. So you haven't played in 25. You're going to get to play a game, and then you get a rest. You get that extra day before. I don't even know when the semifinal is it like the 8th?
Yeah, I think it's the 8th and 9th.
It's like Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, Thursday, Fiesta Bowl is the 8th.
Yeah, all to stay away from the NFL. Absolutely wild. How are they going to do the Fiesta Bowl? Are they going to try on a Thursday night? Are they still going to try and have all the pomp and circumstance with that? Holy cow. One of those instances where all you have to do is look to the NFL model, and we keep saying that over and over again, and you would find answers to a lot of this. Speaking of the NFL, for the two fan bases, a very good Sunday for both. We will get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
That glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think, it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents, and that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me, because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
At least one Sunday was good for the two Ohio NFL teams, both winning. Browns 13-6 over the Steelers, Bengals 37-14 over the Cardinals. I want to ask you guys a question on the Browns-Steelers game specifically. Do you think the Steelers were so distracted by making sure that Myles Garrett did not set the sack record that it contributed to them losing?
I 100% do.
Me too.
I mean, it sure seemed like during that game, that was the only thing they were worried about. Jen Winters is a huge Steelers fan, mm-hmm. and she somewhere, I think it was early in the second half, just said, let him sack you already and get it over with.
Right.
Because it sure seemed like that was their only focus.
That's the way it seemed to me, too. It seemed like they were, no matter what, Miles got near him twice, kind of near him twice. Once he kind of dove for him, and another time he was up around his arm just as Rodgers got it released. But it seemed like they made that their entire focus in a game where they could have clinched the AFC North was making sure Myles Garrett didn't set the sack record.
Yeah, why is that your focus?
Well, because like, TJ shares it, right? Is that why that's the
yes,
big deal?
Yeah,
like him and
correct.
Strahan shared it 22 and a half.
And they sure kept showing him on the sidelines a lot. It seemed like whether it was intentional or not,
yeah.
he seemed to be in every shot of their sideline.
Man, just take care of business. Lock up the North. You're in the playoffs. Who cares if he gets the sack record? Come on.
It just seemed to me like that was the entire focus of this. Stefanski was available post-game and was asked how Miles affected Aaron Rodgers. Here's his answer.
Yeah, I think Miles affects every single game, Jeff. Obviously, he shows up in the stat sheet in a bunch of different areas, but even the things you don't see, how they have to play the game. I mean, they have to play an empty the entire game and chip both sides. Those are two eligibles, that aren't getting out in the route immediately. So it affects how teams play us.
I wish Kevin, in a situation like that, would have just given like a real answer to it. Because he went with, yeah, Jeff, he affects every game. But there was an opportunity there because everybody watched the game and knows the impact that Miles had on the game and what the Steelers were doing to limit his effectiveness in part, and I agree with you, Bake, in my estimation, almost to their own fault. It kind of felt like that, like they were just going to make sure that it didn't happen. There was a stat that Benjamin Solak had, I want to say from ESPN. Okay, here it is. This is the one I was looking for. Next Gen Stats had Myles Garrett chipped on 41% of his pass rush snaps against the Steelers, which is the eighth highest rate for an edge in the game this year, third highest from Miles. But the crazy follow-up to this, Myles Garrett was not chipped on 23 pass rush snaps. The Steelers either ran quick game or rolled away from Garrett on 17 of those 23. So in terms of truly drop back, let's hope that he doesn't get there. It's only six, and at least two of them are when Miles lined up over center, because you can't chip from the interior. The Browns put him in the middle. There's at least two of those where that was the case as well. So from a Browns perspective, and this is the thing that I always tell folks when people who don't go to games say stuff like, oh my gosh, why did you win that game? That's going to hurt draft positioning. Go to the game and see if anyone at the game gives a damn about draft positioning. Everybody at that game yesterday, and there were a lot of them in black and gold as well, but everybody at that game in orange and brown could not possibly have cared less about where they're drafting. They wanted to beat the Steelers. And at some point, that still has to matter.
And, Bo, this was going to be one of my three things, but since we're talking about it now, I will discuss it. When you're a Browns fan and you've got a chance to beat the Steelers, none of that matters. That goes out the window, and you're rooting for your team, and you're wanting them to pull out the win. And, yeah, it kind of stinks because the Browns just went from, what, maybe the number two pick in the draft to the number six pick in the draft with that win. But you don't know how things are going to play out next week, who's going to win, who's going to be sitting out games. Yeah. When you got a chance to beat your rival, beat the Steelers, get one win in your division for the year, at least for sure, you go ahead and take advantage of that. And I talked about it last night at the Blue Jackets game. Mm-hmm. When the Blue Jackets tied that game at 2-2 late in the third, mm-hmm. You've had so many games go the other way where you were winning and you gave up that goal. That arena went crazy. So the people that are there, the fans, they don't give a rip in the moment.
No.
There's got to be something on it. There's got to be something on it where you can eliminate the Steelers too, like help in the process of eliminating them from the playoffs. Yeah. And yes, it comes down to this week. And like you were just mentioning there, Bake, you don't know if you're going to end up with six. You could end up higher if everything goes the way you need it to, and you could get a higher pick that way. But you have a chance to help in the process of eliminating your rival in the playoffs. That has to also mean something.
Yeah. And honestly, in terms of draft positioning, the Browns are going to have some massive decisions to make. Like, are there changes to the front office, the staff? Those decisions have to be made. But the biggest decision they have to make, and they've had a pretty good runway here, is do they go into this offseason with Shedeur Sanders as the presumptive starting quarterback? Or do they feel like they need to draft one? If there is anything in them that feels like he has it in him to be that, then they don't draft a quarterback. Because you already have youth there. He's there. Dylan Gabriel's there. Deshaun Watson's there. Those three guys are going to be there. They're not going anywhere. So those three guys are going to be on the roster. So do you need to draft another one, or do you give Shedeur a full offseason, a full training camp, and next season to prove to you what he is or what he is not? That will be the billion-dollar question for them is what is that decision, and who's the one making that decision? Is that the current regime, or is there some sort of change up there? That remains to be seen. But I think he's shown, and we can talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. He has shown me enough to where I want to see some more. Like, I'd like to see what a full off season looks like. He clearly can make every throw. Now, he'll throw it to the other team too. He absolutely will throw it to the other team. He had two picks. One of them was batted. And that one maybe, he does have a propensity of getting passes tipped, but he also could have had a third when he throws the out where easily could have been picked off there. So that'll be their big decision. And the same thing true down in Cincinnati. You think they didn't want to see Joe Burrow go 24 or 31 for 305 and two touchdowns? Of course they do. Like, I think sometimes we miss the forest through the trees on this stuff. It still has to matter. The wins and losses have to still matter. Even if the big picture, there is some sort of a penalty for it in terms of draft positioning, for the people that are going to the games, they're there to be entertained, damn it. And that has to still count.
And we talk a lot about draft position, but there's no guarantee who you draft is going to work out. I mean, we've seen that a lot, especially with the quarterback position. If you want Cleveland to have that higher pick so they draft a Dante Moore, a Fernando Mendoza, or a Ty Simpson, whoever it is that you want at the top of that draft, there is no guarantee that that's going to work out. That's why I was such a proponent last year for the Browns of trading back. Now, it wasn't a quarterback, and a lot of people think Travis Hunter is going to be a star, but I was all for the Browns trading back, getting a guy like Mason Graham, who I feel like I know what you get with him. It's going to be 10 to 12 to 15 years of Pro Bowl level type play at the defensive line. We've seen how much that defensive tackle position has helped Miles this year in his pursuit of quarterbacks. Get the extra picks and get more shots at this thing. You just never know. It's why I was never a proponent of taking Shedeur number two when people thought he could go that high, because there was just too much. And then you end up getting him in the fifth round, Who knows? Maybe you have something here, maybe you don't, but there's just never any guarantees.
Well, and Bo, like you were mentioning about getting a full offseason and a training camp with Shador, what happens if you give him some help on the outside too and draft maybe a Carnell Tate with one of your top picks if he's available at that point?
You're going to see every mock between now and the draft has them taking Carnell Tate.
It's what it should be, honestly. Yeah.
If he gets there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he'll get to six, but if he gets there, yeah.
It's going to be that and offensive tackles.
Yeah. And that's really what their first pick should be. They should be tackles and wide receivers and go from there. And as an aside, like, I'm not crazy about Mendoza. It's not like I'm watching him going like, oh yeah, take him at one overall. Like, he's been nice. I'm really curious to see what this run looks like for him with Indiana over the next 3 weeks. That's what I'm really, really curious about. But look at Tyler Shuck in New Orleans. He looks like the best of the lot. Now, he's got a really smart offensive coordinator that's now a head coach in Kellen Moore that's putting him in a position, but they kind of slow played him at the start of the year. You saw what he did yesterday. He looks great. He looks absolutely great. I'm not willing to give up on Cam Ward yet, but like, it goes to that conversation we were having a couple of months ago where I just think it's the hardest thing to do in sport is to try to identify franchise quarterback. And if you're looking for more proof of it, last night, and by the way, they both played great. Last night, the consensus, easy, no-brainer, number one overall pick from 2 years ago, Caleb Williams, went against the guy who was picked last in the draft. The guy who was picked last won. That's how difficult all of these things are. We'll get you three things on a Monday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. This past weekend, 13 of your football players graduated. I know players have a lot of goals. That has to be a great one to see achieved.
Well, it's part of the process, and we talk about that, obviously, during recruiting. And there's a lot that goes with it. I think, you know, it's easy to, lose that in today's day and age with everything that goes on. But, you know, these guys are still in some of the most formidable years of their lives. And a big part of that is, you know, is the process of getting your degree and what comes with that. And you know, we're very proud of our guys, and, you know, it just gives us an opportunity to reflect a little bit on some of the growth that they've made, and, you know, they're setting themselves up for the rest of their lives. You know, football is going to end for all of them at some point, and, you know, it's our job to make sure that we're preparing them for, you know, for what comes after that, you know, and we have some great men here, you know, and I say men because they come in as young men, they leave as men, and that's our job. And when we, you know, shake parents, you know, hand during the recruiting process and say we're going to take care of their sons and hand them back to your men, you know, it's something we take very seriously. So, you know, proud of these guys getting their degree, and it's a big, important part of the process for them.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Coach, I have to ask you what it was like a few weeks ago being with Coach Meyer when he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Man, it was great. It was great. Great to see him get the recognition that he certainly deserves for, you know, everything he's done. You know, and one of the events we were at was a really cool event because it had folks from Bowling Green, folks from Utah, Florida, and Ohio State, and just really cool to just have all that that group together and tell stories about, you know, the impact that he's made on so many people. And, you know, certainly an honor to be a part of that day and see him go into the Hall of Fame with the greatest, you know, coaches and players of all time.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on. Wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get $3,000 customer cash on remaining new 25 Tundras. Or get 0.99 APR financing plus $1,000 TFS APR cash. With approved credit through TFS, excludes TRD Pro. APR cash must be applied to deal. And every new Toyota comes with 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, fellas, what do we have in the poll today?
The Daily Fan poll over at 971thefan.com. What grade would you give Michigan for the Kyle Whittingham hire? 21.6% give it an A, 50.7% give it a B, 23.2% a C, and 4.6% a D or an F.
I think it's a B, but I'm also not going to sit here and say it's an A, like a lot of these people are acting like it is. You didn't get your first choice.
Yeah. And I don't know how you can give it an, if he was 47, fine, maybe an A, yeah, but not at, well, 67 by the time he coaches a game.
Yeah, yeah. Mother Nature's undefeated on that side of things. Time for three things on a Monday. Hit it, guys.
Three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me, and this is when you realize that the weather is a serious situation in terms of this wind. I don't know that I'd seen this before, and to be fair, I hadn't really looked. I saw this morning from the Ohio Turnpike, which of course runs across northern Ohio, connects Pennsylvania and Indiana and Illinois and the rest of the United States. The Ohio Turnpike issued a weather event travel restriction for certain trucks. The Ohio Turnpike and Infrastructure has issued a across the entire 241-mile toll road for some high-profile vehicles. It's in effect until midnight tonight. If you have a vehicle over 7 foot 6 inches tall, you are restricted from driving on the Ohio Turnpike.
Oh,
so
boy.
That means, yeah, boat. You can drive a truck if it's full but not empty. You're restricted. Anybody pulling a camper or a boat, who the hell's taking a boat, but multiple trailer trucks also empty that exceed over 90 feet, that tells you what you're in for. So if you're on the road now, obviously many of you out there listening right now are probably not going to be on the Ohio Turnpike, but it does give you an idea of what we're in for here over the rest of the day with the winds around the great state. So be safe.
Somehow Amazon's still going to get you your package, though. Don't ask me how, but they're going to. Saw this from Aaron Porchline just 4 minutes ago, talking about the travel delays the Jackets are having. He's told that their charter travel woes are not weather-related, even though the wind is crazy here in Columbus and in Ottawa where the Jackets are flying. We mentioned mechanical issues last night. Now he said it's the travel nightmare that many are experiencing with commercial travel. The staff and players have been told to plan on a 1:45 departure. It's about an hour-long flight to Ottawa, so that means barring any more delays, they'll arrive in Canada around 3, bus to the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa by around 4. So, CBJ, crossing their fingers, no more delays.
First thing for me, I watched one of the craziest college basketball games I've seen so far this season last night between St. Mary's and Loyola Marymount.
Well, there you go.
How's that for a reference on this show?
West Coast Conference, baby.
Yeah, but they, for the last minute and 20 seconds, nobody missed a shot. There were three ties and just trading threes. So I think five threes were made in that span. It was nuts. I had so much fun watching it.
I have no data to back this up, buddy, but it feels to me like more threes are shot and made in the West Coast Conference than all others combined.
Absolutely.
They just breed shooting out there. I don't know what it is. Number two for me, so my family left me on the day after Christmas, not permanently, at least I don't think so, but they're out in California, so I've had some time to do some things. And one of the things I wanted to do was see that movie One Battle After Another, and it was on HBO, so that's an apparatus that I have, so... It's been consensus the best, most people say the best film of the year, so I wanted to check it out. Love DiCaprio, PTA, all of it. Man, that thing is a sprint. That is a sprint. You don't even get a chance to take a breath. It's 2.5 hours. It doesn't feel like it at all. And it's just, it truly, it's one battle after another. It's one thing after another. Like, there's not a second to take a breath kind of the whole way. Really, really entertaining.
Every time I hear you say your family left you, I think of Kevin McAllister. I made my family disappear. Second thing for me, Central Ohio kind of becoming a college football coaching hotbed. We know, obviously, Alex Golish and what he's done with South Florida, mm-hmm. parlayed that into the Auburn head coaching job. I did not realize this till over the weekend. John Hauser, Ohio University's new head coach, is a Hartley grad, played his football at Wittenberg, so he's the head coach of the Bobcats now. And then I just saw UConn hired Ryan Manilak as their defensive coordinator. He played his ball at Pickerington Central, and he's been coaching at Pitt the past couple years. So Central Ohio making waves in college football coaching.
Second thing for me, some Christmas activities over the weekend. We had the whole family go out. It was my wife and now 3-month-old daughter, and my mom and dad and sister and her boyfriend went out to the Franklin Park Conservatory lights last night. They put on a really good show out there. A lot of beautiful lights, really nice setup there. So hats off to them. It was cool seeing it all through Nora's eyes, even though she slept through most of it. But she was awake at the start, and she is very fascinated with the lights already.
Were you watching college basketball on your phone while walking through the lights?
I was not doing that. I saved it for the West Coast Conference when I got home.
I'll tell you, when you bring that up, it reminds me of all the things we did with the boys when they were little around town, and we would always hit that one up. We'd always hit the lights at the zoo,
yep.
And all of those things. And they're pretty undefeated, especially when they start. Probably not next Christmas. It just gets better and better, and then it'll peak around Christmas 2.5, 3. That's when the joy is just, and then that goes. You have that. I mean, Bootsy still has that, and he doesn't turn 10 until Wednesday, and he still has it. And then they become jerks.
Yeah,
and then
it's no fun. She didn't really get to like do much on Christmas, of course, because she's still just now discovering her hands.
Sure.
But right. So like we were opening presents for her from the family get together, and she's just in the bouncer, and I'm sitting there opening, but she's just locked on Friends for some reason on TV.
That's amazing. Finally, number three. Yes, I tore my meniscus. It happened. We got to talk to Doc Meyer, and we're going to get some things sorted out, see exactly how bad it is. If you're curious how, it was stepping out of an SUV onto a sheet of ice, and the left leg stuck. Not exactly glamorous, kids.
Tough news for Anthony Joshua, who just fought Jake Paul. He was injured in a crash this morning in Nigeria that actually killed two members of the car he was in and his entourage. It sounds like Joshua just suffered minor injuries, but scary, scary happenings for the former world champion.
Last thing for me, the Jake Diebler Show up next. They will be at Rutgers on Friday.
You have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. We are back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Our clients...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call.